Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM. What are we going to do today? We'll play Mr. Brightside with his assist from the great Tom Likas. I will be telling some road trip stories. I have another Tijuana story. Also, Ultimate Fighter Matt Hughes. I think Matt is, well, he's the middleweight, but he was in the Ultimate Fighter TV show. I think he was one of the coaches for a season, maybe two. Speaking of Ultimate Fighter, Jimmy Kimmel, the great Jimmy Kimmel, the man who opens his house up to people who want to watch football on Sunday, whether he's there or not, and then his second in command, his lieutenant, Sal, cousin Sal, he wasn't there either last weekend. It was seriously a bunch of people who've known Jimmy an average of 22 months, all just sitting in his freshly remodeled home and eating his food up in the hills.
Well, it's interesting. One thing we'll have to ask him is the day on Monday when we were reviewing our day Sunday at his place without him, and we were talking about eating the pizza pies that we ordered and everything. Apparently, he became upset about something and banned you and me from the house.
What?
This coming Sunday.
Uh-oh.
No. I don't know what that's about.
You're banned?
Well, maybe it's just a 1 week, you know,
controversy
kind of thing.
Brewing.
I don't know what.
So, yes, Brian.
Sorry,
Brian, the sound effects guy.
You're not going to be there anyway. You're going to be in New York.
That's a good point.
Why would you announce that? Then he would think it's like a pitcher who has to sit out an actual game.
But you got him, you know what I mean?
Not anymore because you just opened your
yam.
Yeah, so Kimmel's not going to count that week. You'll be gone
exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Comedian Norm Macdonald, one of the funniest, nuttiest guys on the planet. I love Norm Macdonald. Everyone loves Norm Macdonald, but I feel like he's not focused.
Because of the gambling?
Yeah, I'll give you I was thinking about this yesterday. I did Byron Allen. Byron Allen's a black comedian, bald, nice guy, does all those interviews. It's that kind of thing where you see him on late night and you go, how's that guy know Tom Cruise? And they're doing the soul shake and the hug, and you think, what the? He's been around for a long time.
Real people.
Yeah.
Real people. He was 18 when he did Real People. 18.
Sarah Purcell.
Fresh out of high school. Point is, I was did his, he has some comedians TV show. I did a couple episodes of it last night. And not that funny a guy. Not a bad guy.
Hangs out with hot women, though. I've seen him out with some hot blondes.
He has forged a very nice life for himself. A nice guy, consistent guy, not unfunny. But Norm Macdonald, hysterically funny, but all over the road. And hence, probably doesn't have as many ducats in the bank as Byron, doesn't have as nice a car in the driveway, and doesn't have as many white chicks in his bed.
You believe that? You think that Byron Allen has more loot in the bank than Norm Macdonald?
Byron Allen syndicates his TV shows, and it's like his company and all that kind of stuff. And I think he, let's just put it this way, when I came pulling up onto the lot, yesterday evening, I passed an Aston Martin Vanquish, which is a step up from the Aston Martin DB9, and it's Dicker's 250.
Wow, that's pretty.
And he was driving that?
Brand new, and he drives it. That's the one he drives to work. I assume he drives it everywhere, but the point is that wasn't a car that he, you know, rented for the weekend to impress a chick. He's driving a $250,000 car into work. He's doing okay. He's been on TV almost continuously for 30 years, essentially, and he doesn't seem to have a coke problem, so
that helps. It's better to be consistent and marginally funny than brilliant like Norm Macdonald and maybe a little.
If I can get the consistency part down, I am in that.
Yeah, that's right. You're like a sporadic Byron Allen. You know what I mean?
Well, that Byron Allen, every time I see a Proactive commercial, which I watch intently, thinking it's going to help me, Byron Allen is never far away from a Proactive commercial.
Yeah, it is. I would like to find out the guy's net worth. I guarantee it's quite a bit and quite a bit more than Norm Macdonald, who gambles all his money away. But still, funny as F, and we'll have him in. Also, Dave's jerk list coming up today as well. So I had I'm a little out of it this morning because some mornings, and it's a weird thing, like on Monday I woke up before my alarm, just a minute, literally a minute before the alarm, but I got out of bed, always feel like fried hell in the morning, but I got out of bed a minute before the alarm went off, And it was sort of like, well, I'm done with this thing called sleep. I'll now get up. Oh, alarm hasn't even gone off yet, but I'll begin my day. No use putting my head back down on the pillow for a minute and a half. This morning, the alarm went off, and I was in the throes of a crazy dream and confused and disoriented when the alarm went off. It's interesting that as a human being whose chemistry, biology, and whatever doesn't change very much, how it can vary so wildly from day to day. What was the grand design in that? You know, that one morning, Monday morning, it is just really woke up on my own, never really felt like I went to sleep that night, and then just got going with my day. And 2 days later, that alarm went off, and I had no idea who I was or where I was or what that noise was. The dream I was having was I was back in my old neighborhood of North Hollywood. I was walking around with Dave and Tad.
Wait, and was I there?
Yeah.
Tad, that's right.
You look really
thin.
You
were there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Okay.
you were not. It was Dave. It was Tad. They were not associated with this radio show. We didn't discuss it, but that was the feeling. In dreams, you have feelings. You know who's there and what's where.
The Five Musketeers. You, me, and Tad.
Maybe
Tad
you were just,
for three.
I think this dream meant that you were hungry.
Yeah, maybe it was. Yeah, maybe that's interesting. Boy, poor Tad. I got three syllables into the joke. We got off nine fat jokes.
Going for 10. Anyone? Okay. Keep going.
Lose weight. Get out of mom's house.
Thank you. That's 10.
So I'm walking around my old neighborhood and around my old high school with Dave, Tad, and a friend of ours, Tony Barbieri. Mm. Dave knows him. I am actually attempting to hold some things and eat some French fries at the same time. Not to do with Tad. No Tad jokes. I have no idea. I'm scared to bring Tad's name up now. Now, I have a woman, and it's like an old girlfriend, and I'm secretly trying to rendezvous with her. I'm married, or at least I feel married, but my wife is not involved with the dream. You know, that's the beauty of dreams. Like I said, you kind of know where you are. You feel you can be married and not know who your wife is. You're just married. That's how dreams work. And this person, and I'm looking at engines for my Mini Cooper automobile through some glass display cases, deciding on whether I should get a new one or not. And also walk down a long street filled with homeless people who have beds lined up on the lawns of houses that are up on a sort of embankment, and they're sort of dying and homeless people as we work our way through the streets. Now, nothing was said, nothing important was said, no monumental events. It was one of those dreams where you just can't figure out what the F the story was. There was some woman I was trying to rendezvous with. It was an old girlfriend, but I don't know which old girlfriend. We were going to eat. I decided, I don't think we should. I decided against it, but I couldn't really get her the message, and she was waiting out there. We were trekking through my old North Hollywood High with Tad and Dave, and Tony Barbieri is a guy I like, but a weird mix, mm-hmm. weird late addition to the dream. And then there's a lot of sort of general French fry eating and homeless people waiting to die.
Wait, can I interpret from what I get?
Please.
And not just because of Tad, but I think you're dealing with a lot of weighty issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you started a new job and you had two new babies kind of around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're juggling a lot of plates. You know, mm-hmm. you got a new family, you got a new job.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of your new family.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman who is, you're not sure who she was in the dream, but she's your wife. And then there are French fries and homeless people. There's a lot going on in your world.
Hmm. Yes. No S. Sherlock. I agree. And, you know, it's funny. I think guys, once we become domesticated, have these dreams. Like, you know, in Disney movies, when a lion is in captivity but has a dream. Now, the lion lives in a small cage and just paces back and forth in front of school-age kids all day. But when the lion dreams, he's out in the Serengeti and he's chasing down a gazelle.
Running free. Yes.
Running free. Guys have a lot of those running free jokes.
Do you?
Because, listen, man, that house, that's a gilded cage, baby. That's where man was meant to run free. This is why when men have dreams, they're all dreams about cheating, being single, nailing broads, out on the road. Guys have a lot of dreams where they're out and about, they're moving down some highway, and they're banging everything that comes across.
Is that true, Dave? Do you have those?
Well, I mean, listen, it's sort of similar. That's why I've often referred to myself as the love cheetah.
Right.
That's right.
Because in my mind, you can't.
You're living out
there. There's no prey out on the Serengeti that I'm the fastest animal on the planet. It's only a matter of time before I track you down, gazelle, a.k.a. ladies.
Why wouldn't guys dream this? You know, if you do, like I said, whenever you see one of those, what are animals thinking about? Whenever they have what an animal's thinking about, they're always out. They're always running free. I'd like to see someone honest enough to show an animal that's out in the wild. Maybe there's a drought, they haven't eaten in weeks, and they're just lying there staring at their bellies out in the hot sun, and they're dreaming about being in a cage and being fed at noon every day.
Out of a bowl, yes.
Out of a bowl,
yep.
From a nice man who's paid to do that. Yes.
We got to get a dream analysis.
I just gave one. Wasn't good?
Well, listen, it's as valid as anything else. This is in the top three for me of the most bogus professions. The people who analyze dreams. You know, if you die in your dream, you die in real life. Says who?
No, it means there's a death in your life. I think you can only analyze your own dream because the symbols are only known to you.
But people write books and do stuff about
it. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing about dreams. There are attachments. Yesterday when our crackhead 73-year-old Sarah called in and was talking about being on death's doorstep.
Adam's on the phone.
That's what I was hearing about an hour and 45 minutes ago while I rolled around in my bed. My cage.
Gilded.
My gilded cage. Whatever happened to gilded in front of stuff? I missed that from those Rush songs. Point is I thought about death. I was thinking about death and then everything else. But I do believe that it's just a sort of montage of things that crept in during the day that you weren't aware of. But the bigger point is yes, I think guys do dream about nailing women, being free and being away and being out and being in sort of getting reconnected with the biology. The dreams become very visceral. What do guys do? Here's what guys do in their dreams. They F and they fight. These are the two things. Yeah, these are my two activities. These are my main dreaming activities. A lot of fighting going on. Like, for instance, your average guy, not Matt Hughes, who's coming in here from the Octagon, but the average guy gets into two fights in his life, three fights. If Bruska's got 1,500, but Damashek has minus five fights. Man.
Cowering from
wait a second, you've got to get in five fights to get to
get
neutral.
To get to zero. Right.
Well,
but let me just finish my point. The point is, guys, really, when you stop guys and you talk to guys, they've actually only been in a couple of fights. Many, none at all. It's surprising. That depends what neighborhood you grew up with in, depends what kind of family you have. Most guys have gotten into a couple of fights. In their dreams, it's into the thousands. Yeah. So if you think about that difference, two in real life versus thousands in the dreams, well, obviously, this is something that's in our nature. This is something we think about. This is something we constantly think about. It's burned into us. We don't do it for many various reasons, some good, some not in real life. But as soon as our eyes shut and our brain turns off, pow, we're fighting. And same with effing. Think about the amount of effing you've done, the amount of women you've had, all that, the amount of conquests and situations and whatever, versus real life. So that's how you know what we're thinking. Now, women, they don't dream about effing and fighting, I would imagine.
Not fighting, but I definitely have had sexual dreams.
You've had sexual dreams, but I would argue that that's even different, all because of the biology. Probably men and women all have sexual dreams, but men have dreams of sort of conquests and being out on the prowl and going to a wedding and seeing some girl giving them the eye from across the wedding and then hooking up. You know, I mean, it's a constant thing, and it's not even all about sex. It's just about conquest. It's going out, meeting, collecting, seeing if you could, win over and that kind of stuff. So a lot of effing and a lot of fighting, and that's how you know what your nature is. As a matter of fact, if you want to know what you're thinking about or you want to know what's woven into your DNA, just go to sleep and after a couple months, figure out what you've been thinking about, and that's probably where you're
at. Yes, in fact, I took a class in college on dream analysis, and they said that Jung, who basically invented it, he had a quote that's something like, a dream is a letter to you from your unconscious.
Nice.
It's actually telling you exactly what's going on.
Well,
thank
what
you.
Does this mean? That I once in a dream had sex on Joan Collins. Now, Teresa, you said that you've dreamt about laying down with men. have any of the your office mates here made an appearance in the dreams?
I think Adam had a good point. I think... Well,
Adam,
No, I think he had a good point, I said. Mm-hmm. Which was
is that a nickname for his penis? The point.
Which is that there's some symbolism to the people. At least for me, I'll have sex with random people in my dreams, and I know it has some meaning. Like in college, I would dream about teachers that weren't very attractive, but I was trying to bond with those teachers mm-hmm. in a sexual way in my dream. Mm-hmm. And I had, like I told you many moons ago, I used to have nothing but lesbian dreams, and I'm not gay. Mm. I don't know what I was working out or what it meant. Maybe I wanted to have more girlfriends.
Were you on a train in Europe?
Trying to get a bagel in Prague.
So, yeah, there you go. Yes, also, the dreams get a little bizarre sexually every once in a while. Hope not going to read too much into those because I just don't want to.
Come on.
I've said enough. Once in a while, there's...
What's the weirdest one?
I think the he-she dreams where the person's sexuality, but their gender's a little bit blurry. There's some penises that are mixed with a boob. There's a...
What?
There's a vagina. Not mixed with, but there's like... That a dude or is that a... There's a couple of those. Or is that a dude or is that a chick?
You
like,
are gay.
Like what I had with Board Op Bill for the first few months I was here.
Right, where you just didn't know.
Not sure. Not going to ask. Just not sure. All right, we need to take...
Calling all homos.
We need to take ourselves a break. We were going to talk about road trips, but I think we should talk more about dreams. I didn't know Teresa was qualified.
I took one class.
That's way more than anyone else in this room has taken about dreams. Talking about waste of money. I like to go through colleges and just clean them up.
Really? Right. What kind of class?
Worst of all, it was a graduate class at NYU. It wasn't even undergrad.
Well, you've had dreams. Many of you are dreaming now and will be waking up as we start this segment. But it's also struck me that your head gets sort of erased as the day goes on. That's why I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to start making little notes and I'll talk about it in the first segment because it's fresh. By the middle of the day, it is gone, daddy gone. So tell us your dreams, 866-901-ADAM, and we'll be back after this.
All this month on the Adam Carolla Show, you can win $10,000, and all you got to do is outbook August in September.
Well, it's put up or shut up time, Mike August.
That's right, Mike August, our talent booker, has been coming in a little below the mark. So Adam's going to give $10,000 to whoever books the best guest in September.
That person shall be me.
Outbook August in September.
It's 10 grand of my money.
A listener got Willie Nelson.
Wow, Willie?
Hello there.
August didn't get Don King. Jerron the intern got Tony Hawk. August got stood up by Tara Reid.
It's not looking good.
The contest is open to everyone, even Mike August.
I have big plans for September. You'll see.
All right.
You'll all see.
Outbook August in September.
Mike August can't even book himself into the studio.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're talking about our dreams and dream analysis. I watched my dog Molly go into a weird REMI convulsion thing yesterday, which I thought was sort of interesting.
They're hunting in their sleep, I think, dogs.
They're doing the same stuff guys are doing once they're domesticated. They're out running, making, being, frolicking, having a good time. Yeah, eyelids twitching, paws twitching, sitting there on my chair. I was just looking at her. For a minute, I thought she was, swallowed her tongue or something. And for a heartbeat, I thought about getting up off of my chair and doing something. And then I thought, let nature take its course.
Yeah, who she's working stuff out.
That's right. Let her work it out. She wakes up dead. That's her business. Oh. I'll still take her for a drag every day at noon. That's right. I said
Molly.
A drag. I will be dragging my dog. I'm very compulsive that way. A few years after the dog passes, we'll be taking the dog for a drag. There's Corolla. So sad. Just a bloody nub on a leash. Crows pecking at the dog. Just drag him so along the same route, by the way. Still brings a little bag and paper towel, just in case, just on the off chance the dog's got to make a duke. Oh, yeah. Speaking of the dog, and then we're getting to our dreams. You know, I bring her over to Kimmel's every Sunday to watch the game. She likes to run around, take a little whiz on the carpet, and eat everyone's pizza scraps. But she will take a duke in the same spot. She has her spot. Really? You know what I mean? Yeah, the thing that's weird about dogs, when you walk them around, they have their spot. They have their little whiz spot. They have their little duke spot. Once they start pulling for it, you know what's going on. And the problem is there's always some nosy neighbor who's standing out in the front lawn who's got that, you got to take care of that crap look. I try to take care of the dog duke by rolling it, hoping it gathers enough twigs and then goes off to the side where it won't be harmed. But sometimes it just clings to my shoe as I try to kick it or attempt to bury it myself. It does get comical when I bend down to throw some leaves on it, and my dog does this thing where she does her duke, she moves ahead 4 feet, stops, and then does the peel out move. Does it like a bull that's getting ready to charge, flinging dirt onto my head and ear as I bend down and try to cover the duke. I ask you, who's the master? Who is the master?
It is, yes. If Martians came down and saw one creature walking down the street and dropping its poop, and then another creature bending over to pick it up.
One creature is walking down the street. The other creature's carrying a bag of its fecal matter and trailing behind it.
Well, you know what would be confusing to Martians? Adam's friend Ray taking the poop and mushing it on another human's ear.
Still unclear whether it was his poop, my buddy Chris's poop, or combination.
And unclear, what kind of creature Ray is.
Yeah, that's right. Eddie, we're talking dreams.
Hello.
What's happening, Eddie?
What's going on? I'm just going on to work, and I was listening to your radio show. Good dog, Dookie story, by the way.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, baby. Good radio, Adam.
Thanks.
I had a dream a couple nights ago, and I don't remember the circumstances that led up to this point, but I ended up having a needle in my eye, pretty far in there.
Yeah.
I can't interpret that. I guess maybe I have a lot of jobs and life sucks and then you die, but I have no idea why I had a needle.
I've had those kinds of dreams where you realize there's a bullet in your head or a piece of rebar in your lung, and it doesn't hurt that bad, but you're aware of the implications. You can do the math.
Well, you know what was funny is the second that you wake up, and you're kind of still in dreamland, but you're just about waking up. I remember the blanket was by my eye, and I went, oh, God, I don't want the blanket to touch the needle. That's still probably sticking out here.
Yeah, it is weird, that weird little zone that you have between being fully conscious and asleep, where you still think whatever went down may not have gone down to the extent that it did. But if you were cheating on your wife, you didn't fully cheat, but you got to second base with somebody. That zone, like, you still kind of did something.
Yes.
Right, you wake up guilty and your shorts are stuck to your, you know.
Thank you.
Upper stomach. You know what I'm saying, right?
I know what you're saying. I used to have the only reoccurring dream I used to have, and it was pretty easy to figure out, was back when I was very, very poor, I'd constantly have these dreams where there was a wild animal that had locked its jaw onto a body part, let's say my forearm, that just bitten on, or my ankle or something like that, and it just locked, like an alligator's jaw would lock on you. And I was always caught between, if I stay here, I'll slowly bleed to death. It's not ripping any flesh, it's just locked onto me, but this is no way to go through life. On the other hand, if I struggle and try to pull away, I'm going to tear muscle and tendons. It's going to do more damage. So what do I do? Slow death, or do I try to extricate myself and maybe pull my hand off? This is the dreams. It's the kind of dreams you have where you owe the IRS money and you're making your minimum payments every month. I used to owe the IRS, like, I owed them like $4,000, which was a monumental amount for me when I was 27. And I used to pay them like $31 a month, but that was just the interest and penalty. So you pay them $31 for what was about 3 years. And then when I finally made some money and squared up with them, I owed them exactly as much as I did 3 or 4 years earlier when I began my payment plans. But this weird sort of holding pattern pattern that you get into when you're poor. You're making a payment on your credit card, but it's just the minimum amount. You're never, it's sort of the renter's dream. No car insurance. Renter meets owes money to the IRS means minimum credit card payment, and this weird sort of thing where this is a slow death. I can keep paying my $30 a month, or I don't have the money to extricate myself. I can't get away from this. If I try to, I could fake my own death and move to Mexico, but that's about it. So it's a weird, it's a slow death. It's a symbolic, you will not die, but you will have this Rottweiler around your ankle for the next 10 years. Powerful, the more you know. Thank you. Mark?
Yeah?
You had a dream about robbing a liquor store?
All the time. It's recurring. Hmm. It's like I'm walking into a convenience store with some kind of gun, whether it be sawed-off shotgun or a pistol or whatever. But I walk in there, and the clerk is somebody I know. And it changes every time the dream. One time it was my stepfather, and one time it was an old high school teacher. Mm. At some point while I'm in the act of taking the money, another customer or something will walk into the store, and I turn, and then, they'll hit the alarm or something inside the store, and in actuality, it's my alarm waking me up.
I do believe, along with a lot of sex or pickup chicks dreams and a lot of fighting dreams, a lot of crime dreams.
Same. I've had the robbing the grocery store dream.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I think it has to do, it's a taboo. It's just like the fighting and the effing.
Yeah, and every third TV show is about it. So you sit there and you watch 4 hours of that, and then you go to bed, and the next thing you know, you're on the run from the CSI guys. But it's interesting that it's inhabited by gym coach or stepdad or something like this. This store seems to be this place you enter that is some sort of, gateway to your past or something with all these characters from the past.
Yeah, it's pretty strange.
I would recommend next time you go in there, do one of those whipped cream whip it things. Go to the dairy section, grab yourself a thing, a Cool Whip, shake it up real good, or Ready Whip or whatever, and then suck the nitrous right off the top of the can.
Just suck the whole thing down, huh?
Yeah, don't get any of the cream. Just get the nitrous propellant.
Right.
It'll give you a nice buzz. I do like catching a buzz in a dream, too.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a cool, weird one for your mind to kind of work out. Wow, I'm high on shrooms, but I'm not really high on drugs, but my mind has to create an environment, which I am. I also have dreams of sort of falling off the wagon. Not off the wagon, but I'm sure, T, you've had these dreams, Dave, as well, where you'll just eat an entire pumpkin pie, and then you'll wake up and you'll think, oh, Christ, I ate a whole pie?
Yes.
And then you go, oh, no, wait, I didn't. Oh, that's good. But there's a part of you that still feels like I took in a couple calories there.
Yeah, you wake up and you go, I know I just gained 10 pounds from that binge.
Weird right. That you guys, everything that you guys have said so far, none of those things have happened to me. My things go, I have apocalyptic dreams, and they last for I have the same dream for 4 months in a row, 4 or 5 months, which you can imagine affects how it affects the other two-thirds of your conscious life, to every night just dream about the end of the world.
Same thing, you have the same dream?
You can never remember. But yeah, just as when you wake up, you realize, oh, I'm in the conscious state. I'm in this world. When you go back into the same dream all the time, you're like, oh, I'm here again. And
so
the same way.
No effing, fighting, fleeing.
Eating.
Dreams of being free.
I mean, sometimes I have the one that a lot of people seem to have, the being chased one, that I can't get away. I'm on the top step, and the ghoul is at the bottom of the stairs, and the rogue catches me before I can even open the door.
Yeah, a lot of that.
It's a typical anxiety dream to be chased.
But yeah, and then I go into other 4 or 5 month stretches as soon as the apocalypse is over. Then I get into these long stretches of the most mundane crap in the world, like, did I put that pen in my pocket in the dream or in the real?
I have a lot of very boring dreams as well. Nicole?
Yes.
What's up, baby doll?
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, thank you. What's up?
I was going to tell you about my dream.
All right.
I was at my aunt's house, and we were having a family reunion, and I remember saying, sorry, Mom, sorry, Mom, sorry, Mom, and I just remember me cutting off my head and grabbing a blanket, a big comforter that was sitting on the couch, and wrapping it over my neck so she couldn't see that I had cut off my head,
mm-hmm.
So, and I just remember looking at my body you know, on the ground with a blanket over my neck and just saying, sorry, Mom, sorry, Mom.
Now, you were looking at your body lying on the ground from your severed head?
No. I was like a, I don't know, maybe like a ghost or something.
Well, sometimes you're omniscient in your dream. Yeah. You can see everything, including yourself.
Dreams are like video games where they have different, you can be in the sports car or you can be in the helicopter above the sports car. It can be your point of view or your point of view could be above the race.
I'm going to make a guess that your mom doesn't listen well to you.
My mom does listen well to me.
She does?
Yes. Yeah, and I'm opposite. I don't know.
I've never cut my head off or got my head cut off in a dream. That is a crazy dream because I don't think I could do the math on it.
Are you ashamed of anything?
No. Listen, I am a teacher in the day. At nighttime, I'm a cocktail server, and I'm getting my master's.
Hey, buddy, here comes the cold. Don't mind the head. That's in the dressing room. Listen, she may not have nose, but she got herself a kitty, so why don't we feed it? Stage four. Hey, she's teaching by day, shaking her moneymaker at night. So, fellas, crunch your grin and drop your linen, show your appreciation. I'm fat and I have a fanny back. I still think my Kennington Terry Claw shirt is in style. Let's do some booger sugar. I gotta tell you, I'm overweight, living at home, but I'm in the basement. My mom's too old to come down from upstairs, so we can get it on all night or until I climax, which is about 45 seconds in. So if there's any heavyweight strippers with stretch marks who have a C-section scar on them that are just hanging out after the club closes down, your self-esteem's at all-time low, you can come home with me. I got an 84 Ranger. Crew cab, come on down.
Well, Nicole, did we get to the bottom of that?
I like the super cathartic DJ at the strip club. Sorry. Whew, I got a head rush.
Nicole, you're a teacher by day, and at night you work at the cocktail club.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm doing my master's right now.
I see.
My life is busy.
Who do you teach? What grade?
First grade.
That's nice. Not a lot of pressure.
Not at all.
No, I don't. You know what you don't want to teach? You don't want to teach calculus to a bunch of Asian 17-year-olds because you're going to get called on stuff. Mr. Corolla, I think the fact that you put the X and the Y, I think you have those transposed. The Y should. I would do that on a daily basis. What I want is a bunch of 1-year-olds, a bunch of first graders. I mean, who really are not going to call anything you say into question, even if you're wrong. It doesn't matter what you talk about, history, what capitals. Doesn't matter. That's what I'd like. I want to be just a couple grades ahead of whoever I'm teaching.
What would these? I can't imagine what these kids would learn. First graders would learn at the hands of Corolla.
Well, they'd learn we're all living in a gilded cage, man, that we built. Wow.
It would be a scary thing, for sure.
All right, Nicole.
No, not as scary as not having any head.
That's true.
That didn't sound right.
I know what you meant. Someone had sex to see. Always gets shot in dreams. Wants to talk about my dream. All right, quickly. Angela?
Hi, how are you?
Good. You want to talk about my dream?
I do. I found it really interesting, actually. I think Teresa was onto something earlier.
Thanks.
Because you were talking about how there was this woman in your dream and you didn't know who she was, but you knew you were married, but you couldn't identify with this other woman. And I kind of thought, obviously I'm not any expert, but like my first thought was that you might have been subconsciously thinking about the fact that you kind of miss your wife in the old days and the times you had maybe with her before you had the babies and all that kind of stuff.
The other woman was my wife.
Before the babies.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, so. Does that resonate?
No, but it's not bad. I mean, there's certain calls that people make where you go, hey, tip of the hat, that's pretty good legwork, but completely off. What? Oh, no. This was an old girlfriend I wanted to get down with. All right, but good try there, Angela.
Dream analysis is a bunch of applesauce.
Well,
please.
Let's put it this way. I remember this from my dream class. If you don't dream, and they've done experiments where they let you sleep, so it's not that you don't sleep, but they wake you up before you get into REM, deep sleep. And if you don't dream, you will become psychotic and lose your mind. So it's very important to your brain to process.
You have to dream.
Yeah, you have to.
Mm-hmm. This is the problem with what's going on in the inner city. A lot of these kids... I think they're talking about something. They're talking about having dreams.
Dude,
that's different.
Metaphorical.
All right, I screwed that up.
Yeah.
I screwed that up.
Well, they're both important.
We need to take ourselves a break. I dream that we could all one day live in a world where we had Teresa Strasser doing the news.
Oh, my God.
What?
I think that dream is real.
What? What's coming up?
We're going to talk about the Steve Irwin Memorial yesterday. A lot of celebrities sent video messages, and some you would not expect. And also...
Little Kim's was my favorite.
From jail. And also, former Governor Jim McGreevy was on Oprah yesterday with some gems.
Yeah.
The Jersey governor was gay.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Those were jewels. We will take ourselves a break also. Yes.
NFL player, or a new game in honor of the Feast of San Gennaro that's coming up soon. Is NFL player or Godfather character.
Oh, I like
fun new game.
What can the audience win?
They can win tickets to Prima Notte, the first night at San Gennaro Feast, or tickets to see Jim Belushi and the Sacred Hearts at the Luxor in Vegas.
Fantastic.
I'd go with the Prima Notte myself.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not because it's great, just because Jim Belushi won't be singing. it's an easy math equation for me. Now, we will, and I'll be there as well. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with news and sports after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Word to your moms, I came to drop bombs. What up, peeps? It's your homeboy Jack Silver. Check it. We got Ultimate Fighter Matt Hughes. We got Jimmy Kimmel and comedian Norm MacDonald. And in other news, a severe boom drought has gripped the West Coast. Meteorologists and radio program directors are hoping for a downpour of TNA in the next few days. Should be hot, late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, no. Here's Teresa Strasser with the news.
Well, yesterday in Thailand, there was a coup d'etat, that is a quick and bloodless overthrow of the government. But when I think of Thailand, I think of Bangkok. When I think of Bangkok... think of John Hardcore.
Military coup.
All news should just be sung to this.
In Thailand, yeah, Thailand, a military coup toppled the leader.
It does make it a lot more palatable.
Taken to the streets, they're carrying signs, they're burning effigies.
Yeah, just every story. I don't care what it is. I want it done to the sound of falling.
I wish I could do that for you, but I'm going to have to speak this. One time, JonBenet Ramsey murder suspect John Mark Carr, sang this very song at a friend's wedding long ago, was offered a plea deal yesterday in Santa Rosa on child porno charges. Now, here's the thing. If he accepts the deal he was offered, free on probation, John Mark Carr. Could happen in the next couple days.
It is the one thing that, one thing I got to give a tip of the hat to the Asian cultures above ours. This guy would have killed himself a long time ago. The shame that he brought his family, the shame that he brought himself and his classmates and whoever else. No doubt in my mind, if this guy was Japanese, he would have just fallen on a sword many months ago. And that is, I got to tell you.
Shame is important to society.
Oh, we need shame.
We
bring
need
back
it.
Shame. Please bring back shame.
I bring it back every single day. Okay. In entertainment news, more than 5,000 people gathered to celebrate Steve Irwin's life. He was the crocodile hunter. This in a televised memorial at Irwin's Australia Zoo. That was earlier this morning, local time in Australia. The celebration kicked off with an emotional recorded video message from Australian star Russell Crowe.
Your passing has suspended reality for all of us. It was way too soon and completely unfair on all accounts. I know, as humble as you always were, that you would still be pleased to know that the world sends its love and that people all over this planet have been grieving.
Well, a couple of things. First off, Russell Crowe could certainly play him in a movie.
I think so.
They do a movie about him. You picture those two guys in the shorts and the khakis and the whatever. He could definitely pull off the Steve Irwin. He'd be the nicer looking Steve Irwin. But that's what you want. You want a guy who shares some of the same descriptions if you describe them, but it's just better looking. The opposite is what you get when you're set up with someone from high school's friend who looks like Cindy Crawford. And
she's
you see her and they go, technically, you're right, but that's about as far as it goes. Yeah. And the other thing is I like the guy. I wish he wouldn't have gotten stung by that manta ray. But how many people, and when is this going to end? And was he that beloved?
He was so beloved. You wouldn't believe the people that gave video messages. Kelly Ripa sent one, Cameron Diaz. And then I have one. This was the most
random. Now, do you get solicited for that?
I think you do, or maybe you offer. Here's Justin Timberlake at the memorial.
To Terry and Bindi and Bob and Steve's family and friends, I may have only really spent a day with you guys, but it was a day I'll never forget. And I'll never forget what I learned just by being around Steve. Not even what he taught me, but what I learned from just being around him with animals.
Yeah, I got a call from my agent saying if I could lay something down.
Really?
I said, like, the same answer I say to anything. How much?
And they wouldn't meet your quote?
Yeah, and I'm not going to, you know, again, the family's grieving. I'm not going to say what my quote was. But the problem is once you give away one of these video freebie eulogies, then the next thing you know, another celebrity dies. They come to the Ace Man. And now I go, well, it's 50 grand. And they go, well, you did it for Steve Irwin. You did his for free. That's how the business works.
Right,
so I
you
just can't
be careful.
I can't afford it.
Justin Timberlake did it.
Do they go to them? Justin Timberlake evidently, or through his video eulogy, it was quite a society we're living in now where we have video eulogies. I assume that my eulogy will be presided over by a robot or maybe a hologram. Dave, perhaps you can get Jan Solo or whatever.
He'll from, beam in. Who,
yes,
it.
Get whoever's in charge of the Force to do yours in a holographic way.
Dave's number one eulogy.
Yeah. It'll be great. I'll have Rosie the robot on there from the Jetsons delivering mine with video eulogies from Kimmel and Sarah Silverman and people like that. It'll be awesome.
Well,
no one will have to attend. We'll have it beamed into your home.
Sure. Oprah did
but
not.
But here's my
yes.
point. Here's my point. Justin Timberlake spent one day with Steve Irwin and his family. He probably doesn't know him very well, considering he admitted they only spent a day. And when they say a day, he probably means an hour out of one day. So, does he volunteer the video eulogy, or does some press guy go out and go, let's get some A-listers to really spice
well,
up? Yes.
Here's my guess. Animal Planet had dibs on televising this, and this is a huge coup for Animal Planet.
Yeah.
So, I think they probably sent out their people to get the biggest names for the video eulogies.
I thought Jeff Ross's was funniest, by the way. It got turned into a little bit of a roast. I thought it crossed the line, but it was still funny stuff.
Okay. Oprah was not one of those eulogizing the fallen Steve Irwin, but yesterday she had gay former New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy talking about his new autobiography, Confessions. He says he realized he was gay very early on.
I knew I was gay when I was 6, 7 years of age. I mean, I'm running around and I'm going like, I'm different. And then all of a sudden, like when I was in, you know, 6th, 7th grade, like, uh-oh, something's going on here because I'm not liking Mary and Sally.
Why? Is there one gay on the planet who doesn't know he was gay 10 seconds after he was born? I want one gay just to pipe up and go, well, first time I found out I was gay, I had a penis in my mouth. Before that, I had no idea.
No clue.
I was 27. I was on a business trip. And next thing you know, I found a penis in my mouth. And it was about 10 minutes after that I realized I was gay.
Still, you weren't sure.
No, you all know the second you're born. And I like that one, too. You're 6, you're 5, you're 4. Hey, man, I remember distinctly. I was 4 and I was having feelings. Feelings about what? Humping Barney? What kind of feelings do you have about your sexuality when you're 5 years old?
Well, he said he felt very ashamed, and so he tried to cure himself of gayness by reading Playboy.
So you looked at the magazines?
I looked at the magazines.
And nothing happened?
Well, once in a while.
Wow, good crowd. Listen, he should have hung out with my buddies Chris and Ray. and snake. That'll cure you of being gay. You start having thoughts about that, don't worry.
Well,
they'll beat it right out of you like one of those crazy Bible thumpers.
Really, they'll shame you out of it?
Look, as I said, it's important to have friends that will shame you, because every once in a while, especially when you're young and you're not thinking straight, you think it'd be a nice idea to go out in a leather vest and some cowboy boots. You come up with some sort of idea. If you have the right buddies, they will shame you into going back in and changing your outfit, and you can go back in and change your sexual proclivity as well.
I am a gay American.
Thank you.
I'm Teresa Strasser. Vamping. And that is the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Chavez Ravine last night. The Dodgers ran into a buzzsaw named the Pittsburgh Pirates. They laid the pipe to them 10-6. Meantime, the Padres beat the Snakes of Arizona. So now San Diego is back in first by a half game. Dodgers just one ahead of the Phillies in the wild card race. 11 to go. USC is very angry at broadcaster Brett Musburger, who called the SC Nebraska game this past Saturday. Musburger revealed some inside poop that when John David Booty, USC's QB, is at
poop
the line.
Poop in Booty.
When Booty's
poop
at the line.
Comes from the booty.
He gives hand signals. He gives hand signals to Audible, and Brett Musburger revealed what it was. Take a listen to this.
John David told us that his signal when he finds one-on-one and he's coming is that hang loose, that familiar sign that you've seen surfers use.
He gives the hang loose, and that's an audible. Now everybody, all the teams on the schedule now know the hand signal. John David Booty, the Bayou hero, the big Southern guy, after the game was caught up with a on-field reporter, and here's what he said in retort.
John David Booty, great game. What do you think was the key to USC's victory?
Well, we played good old-fashioned team ball. I do want to say, though, that when Brent Musburger masturbates, he thinks about black preteens. Also, he's got a toupee made of pubic hair. In addition, he eats his own boogers. And sometimes Bob Greasy's.
Well, so quid pro quo. Now, let us play the brand new game, NFL Player or Godfather Character.
It's the NFL Player or Godfather Character.
All right, our prizes. Tickets to see Jim Belushi and the Sacred Hearts at the Luxor in Las Vegas. We have a $50 gift certificate to Hooters. And the big prize, Prima Notte tickets, the Feast of San Gennaro in Los Angeles. Mm. So it will be your choice.
I will be
one
there.
One caller. Best, if you can get 3 out of 5 right, you get to choose which of those 3 prizes you desire.
Yeah,
all right,
Prima Notte, you stroll around, you eat slices of pizza, you eat peppers and sausage.
Cannoli.
It's marvelous.
Cannolis, a lot of good people drinking the vino, lots of opera singing and bands playing. It's a good night. I'll be there. Kim will be there. It's a star-studded affair, perhaps even Tommy Lasorda. Patrick?
Yes, Adam.
You ready to play?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
All right, your first name. Tell us, is he an NFL player? Or is he a Godfather character? Here we go. Richie Incognito. Richie Incognito.
I'm going to have to go Godfather character.
I'm sorry. You're behind the eight ball right out of the gate. He's an offensive lineman, I'm afraid.
Two great sports name. Metaphors in one.
Yes, he's a Rams lineman, as a matter of fact. Number two, Luca Brasi. Luca Brasi.
Wow. Godfather character.
Very nice, very nice. He hopes that the first son is a masculine one, if we recall.
Yes.
That's Luca Brasi.
All
right. Right. Number three. Sal Tessio. Sal Tessio.
NFL player.
I'm sorry, sir. Sal Tessio. Of course, it's just business. He asks for a pass from Michael, but Michael says, no, it's just business.
So now, he's got to get the next two right, or otherwise he's
correct.
Out.
Yes.
Sudden death right here.
Two in a row, Patrick. Here we go, buddy.
Anthony Fasano. Anthony Fasano.
Jesus. NFL player.
Very nice. He stays alive. It comes down to this. One's a tricky one.
I hope
one.
He misses it.
No.
You know, there's a lot of those hosts that go, hey, we're really pulling for you now, Marge. Let's go. Let's really put that thinking cap on. Not me. I like it when you lose.
Anthony Fasano, of course, the Cowboys tight end rookie. And number five, here we go, Mo Green.
No pressure. NFL player.
No.
Oh, Greg, you deserve to lose.
Great corner for the Washington Redskins in the 80s.
When Michael cleans house and he kills all his rivals, he shoots Mo Green in the eye.
Let me ask you a question. Have you seen any of the Godfather movies, or have you ever seen an NFL football game?
Actually, I haven't seen NFL football games in a while because I've been overseas for a while, and I haven't seen the Godfather in years.
All right.
Well, the good news is we'll play again in the next sports then, because we still have all those prizes left.
Yes, we will. All right. We need to break, but let me say this. I was thinking about the Godfather, and I was thinking about talking about the first son being a masculine son. Mm-hmm. I had an intimate moment with my young son last night. Don't laugh, Brian, you weirdo.
Bald creep.
Damn it.
Your son, whose name was taken from a Godfather character, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Santino. Sonny. Sonny Corolla. What a nice Italian name for the lad. We, I'd spent quite a bit of time with the girl, holding her around. She's light. She's easy. The boy's tough on the back. He's tough on the lower back. He's 3 months old. He's hard. It's like lifting a, you know, sack of sand.
Do you know how much he weighs?
He feels like, well, first off, they're dead weight. You know what I mean? Like, when you want to pick somebody up and they're stiff as a board and light as a feather, they pop right up. And then when they're drunk and collapse and you're trying to get them back into the Celica, they're really hard to move. That's how kids are, perpetually just dead weight, full diaper, and just every part of them trying to stick to the ground as you lift them up. The boy probably weighs 20 pounds, but he just feels like such a load compared to the girl. The girl, you can put your hands around, you can sort of feel her ribs, and she's. I hold her above my head with one hand, and she lays out. She does a Superman position. She flattens out. It's a weird thing. She just does it instinctively as I hold her above my, like, as if I'm posing for a football trophy or something. I will just hold her with one hand above my head like a waitress with roller skates going through an old burger joint. And she flattens out. She puts her arms out straight. Whereas the boy, he can't support his huge head. He has a massive cabeza, and all his parts are so big, he just flops down. He's not strong enough to hold himself up. But I spent quite a bit of time with the girl last night, but I didn't get any quality time in with Sonny. So my wife put him into bed. It was about 8:30, 8:45. They were sleeping in there, you know. But by the way, chicks with the I'm waxing on about why traffic cones need to be redesigned, and I'm getting shushed in my own castle, gilded cage, you know. Shh, be quiet. First off, I don't give a rat's ass where these kids wake up. They wake up 45 times through the course of the night anyway. That's why I'm paying this black chick $300 to sit up there and watch TV to watch them wake up. That's the way it goes. I'm going to talk as much as I want. That's the way I look at it. And they'll go right back to bed, but I get to shh, 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 as if they'll never go to bed again. Shh, you ruin it this time, they may never sleep again. Shh, don't, you know, always getting shushed. It sucks getting shushed in your house, but the point is I go, listen, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to a little time in with Sonny because I have not seen that boy today. I'm spending all the time with the girl. I'm going to go snatch him out of his crib, and we're going to have a little man-to-man. My wife does not know. If she finds out, I take him out of the crib, it wakes him up, and then she has to put him back to bed. But it's worth it. So I go into the room. The room's dark, of course, and I go in quietly, and I grab my child, and I go onto the little day bed there, and I lie down, and I put the boy on my chest, and I say, you know, Sonny, you're the last Corolla. There are no other Corollas. You're the last. The last opportunity to keep the name going. I don't have any brothers. I don't, you know, my sister has kids, but they have a different name. No other family members. You are the last Corolla, son. And, son, I'm going to need you to carry on the name with great pride. And then I realize I got the daughter. Then I'm wondering, well, I wonder if this stuff really burns in or it doesn't, you know, because now.
She's going to be a lesbian, yeah.
Yeah, she has gender issues now. So So I quietly pick her up and sneak her back into the thing and then just slink out of the room.
Now, this has happened multiple times.
Cut my losses. Yeah, this has happened multiple times.
And you say that he weighs more. He's heavier.
He does.
Got a huge head. But it was dark.
It was dark, and I thought maybe this was just the adrenaline of a proud parent that lifted, snatched him out of the crib with such ease.
I hope Lynette's sleeping right now.
I got to say this about these kids. You know, when I used to work construction, In order for us not to get our tools confused, because people would walk away with other people's tools, when you're on a construction site, you have a color. You have a spray can. Many guys do this. Your color may be green or it may be red. You take all your tools, give them a little shot of your color. That skill saw, that the one that's got the green paint on it, that's the Ace Man's. The one that's got the red on it, well, Dave's never picked up a tool in his life. Who are we kidding? That's Bruska's saw. The point is you have your color. Perhaps this would work with the twins.
Sure.
Uniforms. You should have, like, themes. You should have, like, be Rams
little shot of the spray
49ers.
Paint. The boys' Caltrans orange. The girls' ivory white.
I would think
white.
That, though, a carpenter, you'd know the feel of your own hammer.
One would think I would know the feel of my own tools, yes. We need to take ourselves a break.
I'll give you the feel of my hammer.
We will play Ultimate Fighting Champion Matt Hughes has just walked in. What a shocker. Big Tad is talking him up. Probably talking technique with Ultimate Fighter. When I eat a jelly donut, I like to use my right hand to get full extension of the elbow.
I grapple it down to the ground.
Lose weight.
All right, there he is. We're going to play a round of Mr. Brightside with an assist from the great Tom Likas. You call in, tell me your problems. They'll all melt away when you're done talking to Mr. Brightside. 866-901-ADAM. We'll be back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for Mr. Brightside to cheer you up. You call in with a problem at 866-901-ADAM, and Adam will put a happy spin on it.
Got a 3-week-old baby boy. I say every night for the past 2 weeks, he decides he wants to scream and holler.
My heart goes out to you. One day, your children will become adults, and they'll have kids, and they'll be burdened by the same problems you have. So there is the payback.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, Mr. Brightside also coming up, Ultimate Fighter, welterweight champ Matt Hughes, and Ultimate Farter Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh,
that's
back
right.
To back.
If there was an ass-shaped octagon, Kimmel would be the king.
What
the
makes him great?
Octagon.
Is it just the scent or the
what made
multitude?
Michael Jordan great?
Everything.
What made Babe Ruth great? I don't know. That's the point.
A
we
will
don't know.
To win.
Oh, if I could bottle Jimmy's greatness in the gas department. I mean, technically, I guess I could bottle that part, but you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the intangible.
Right.
So I don't know what makes
him
great.
Yeah, that's true, but also some people just show up on game day, and that's when they give the 110%. No, he does the work that needs to be done ahead of time. He'll eat a can of beans if he really wants to punish.
Prep off-season.
Yes. He'll eat raw clams. I'll tell you what Kimmel's told me many times, though. He says the day he stops having fun out there, breaking wind on his buddies and getting people to vomit, he said that's the day he hangs up the brown underpants and walks away from the game. Yeah, says when you're not having fun, it's time to hang up the old fart tank and walk away. You know what I mean?
Not when he loses a step.
No, when he's not having fun. Sad to see the guys who hang out too long in the fart game and start crapping themselves.
Yeah.
The Ali of farts.
They think they're going to let a three-stepper go. Instead, they're feeling something coming down their leg. So sad. So sad when they hang on too long. Tony?
Hey, yeah.
I'm going to do a little. Oh, wait a minute. I got to get Tom Likas on the phone.
Oh.
Let's see. Tom. I love the idea that Tom is just laughing to himself.
I was listening on hold, Adam.
I didn't know you were a fan of my work, Tom.
Oh, I love you, dear.
Thanks.
How are you, son?
Great, Tom. Again, thrilled and honored that you'd humble us by coming on our little radio show.
Thank you.
Yes, Tom Likas heard in the same cities we're heard in on, if not right behind us, a show or two behind us every day. And again, up early, doing show prep, as usual.
Yes, and I was noticing that a slowing U.S. economy, dear, may already be impacting Yahoo's web advertising sales growth. And this is a trend that does not bode well for other ad-supported internet sites.
Wow, that's eclectic.
I'm very much into the to the stock game. You know that.
I understand. You're a wealthy man, so you're prepping for this afternoon's show, but you've set aside a little time to help us out on Mr. Brightside.
Yes, I have.
Well, let's get started.
Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
Tony, you there?
Yeah, how you doing, Carolla?
Good. What's up?
All right, check it out. Me and my girlfriend were dating for about a year and a half. I'm 22. Me and my girlfriend were dating about a year and a half, and we broke up. She's about to go to college in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But we broke up for a while, and, you know, we said we're going to be respectful of each other, everything, about 2 weeks after my... I know, Lycus, I know, but...
Oh, boy.
Right in Tom's wheelhouse, but continue,
wow.
Tony.
So you're going to be respectful, Tony.
Later, she's at a party with one of my buddies calls me up and tells me she's messing around with
she's messing around with one of your buddies.
Yes.
Not one of my buddies, just another guy that one of my buddies knows.
A college guy in Georgia?
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Oh, no, not a college guy in Georgia. She hasn't left yet.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so she's been doing it even before she flies the coop.
All right, Tony, let me try to put a happy spin on this.
To dump that bitch.
Well, I was going to say that, but...
Tony's been dumped, though.
I don't know, but Tony, listen to me, because we've all been there. How old are you?
22.
Very vulnerable age for a young man when it comes to relationships. I'm going to put Tony on hold because his connection is bad, but he can hear my advice nonetheless. Better, and I think anyone who's ever ended a relationship, when you look back, hindsight being 20/20, would have to admit, better to have the Band-Aid ripped off quickly than slowly peeled back, taking the flesh and hair and other things with it.
Yes.
It's going to be painful. The difference is, do you want to be killed with 10,000 volts of electricity in a millisecond, or do you want to be pecked to death by crows?
Right you are, Adam.
So, yes, she cheated. Good. Now you're done with her. Move forward. An easy death. The alternative was she goes to Georgia. You guys try to keep some sort of relationship together. You try to correspond from afar, but you're both poor and you're both young. You can't see each other enough. She falls into the arms of another man. You start seeing somebody out here, but you feel guilty, and you stretch this mess out for another 18 months.
It never works, son. And Tony, you need to understand that women are dream killers.
Thank you.
Well,
that's right, Tom. I'm glad you're listening to the 6 o'clock hour. Well, I was talking in the 6 o'clock hour. Tom, you please back me up on this.
Yes.
Men dream like animals dream in movies. When
yes.
they do those Disney movies and they have the lion in the cage, the lion falls asleep and dreams about being in the open Serengeti chasing down a gazelle sitting on the top of the mountain and being the leader of the pride. Men dream of going to Vegas and banging strangers. Men shoot it out. But all our dreams are us on the open road and us with strange women, all the things we try to avoid living in our gilded cage known as our home.
Right,
yes, Tom?
You are, Adam.
And Tom, it's probably for the best that he's not tied down. He's only 22, right?
I agree with you, Teresa. I would also say to Tony, as you go on, some never date single mothers.
All right. That's right. You don't want to be strapped down with
and,
that baggage.
Adam and T,
yes.
Dear, I advocate sex to go, one of the basic tenets of Lycus 101.
Mm-hmm.
No spooning, no cuddling, and or staying over after sex. You get out of there.
So, Tom, if you had it your way, you would just have sex with strangers through a hole in a piece of plywood.
Yes, I would.
Hard to snuggle.
Oh, boy.
Brad.
Oh, hey, wow. Holy.
Yeah. Brad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to Mr. Brightside, 866-901-ADAM. You got a question? Me and Tom have an answer for you. Go ahead, Brad.
Okay. Well, my problem, I work for this, like, little small business. It's like a little supply company, like little medical supplies, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, I've kind of liked working for a small business because it's like, oh, you know, you don't have, like, a big corporation or whatever. But now we don't have any money or whatever, and they're cutting back my hours.
Jeez, I don't know if that's funny, Tom.
Well, but anyway, the point is now I can, you know, they cut back my hours. Now it started out like 40 hours a week, and then it was like, oh, well, we got to cut it back to 30. Oh, we got to cut you back to 10 hours.
10 hours. So you're not able to make ends meet.
Right. Now, so now, long story.
You may be thrown out of your apartment or not be able to feed yourself.
Right. And I'm kind of trying to
not be able to afford medication. Hold on. I want to go through some more scenarios with Tom. Next thing you know, you're destitute. You're living on the street.
Oh, wow.
You're having sex with strangers for enough money to eat at a Denny's that night.
Oh, boy.
Hepatitis C and B creep in, ravage your young body, and the next thing you know, you're in the morgue with a toe tag. Just a scenario, Tom. I'm not saying it's actually going
to
happen.
Mr. Brightside, you're supposed to be tearing him up.
I'm sorry, I was having fun with Lycus.
That is unbelievable.
I'm concerned about this poor young man.
Yes, sir, Brad, what were you saying?
Well,
look, he's cheered up.
Tom delights in other people's misery. Let's be honest.
Throwing me off.
Schadenfreude.
No, but basically, I'm trying to support myself and my girlfriend off 10 hours a week now, and they're going to make me move out of my apartment if I don't pay my back rent.
Perhaps your lady should get a job.
Get that bitch off her ass. She says she doesn't have time to get a job.
What is she doing?
She's getting like a theater degree.
Yeah. Unbelievable. She doesn't have time to get a job. She's very busy killing your dreams. Which is a 24/7 endeavor for her. Listen very closely, son. Dump that bitch.
Brad, it's definitely belt-tightening time. You don't have a job, but here's the deal. I think a lot of people say this. Hey, I'm a student. I can't move out. Yeah, my stepdad's an a-hole. Yeah, it's miserable at home, but I'm a student. Well, sometimes you have to put that stuff on hold.
Yeah.
She's a full-time student. She's going for a theater degree, which is not going to amount to anything. Have her take a semester off, get a job doing a little cocktail waitressing.
Yes.
She'll bring a little bread in. You'll buy yourself a little time. You'll get back on your feet in the job market, and everything will be fine. And then you guys will break up in 6 months when she starts nailing a wealthy client at the bar where she met him. Am I right, Tom?
Yes, you are.
Tom,
if we go out to the bar and start getting laid.
Tom,
my show's all about getting laid, Adam.
Tom, if we want to find you online, how do we do that?
Thank you. If you'd like to email me, my email address is my name, tom@blowmeuptom.com. And if you'd like to hear our show the way nature intended it, log on to blowmeuptom.com between 3 and 8 Pacific.
Well, Tom, again, you're a sage.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow.
He's got a gift. Cheers us up.
You really do, Tom. Thanks for the assist, brother.
Thank you, Adam.
Stellar job is.
Thank you, T.
As per usual, the great Tom Lycus, everybody.
Feel better? We knew you would.
Put on a happy face.
Speaking of great UFC champ Matt Hughes, Ultimate Fighting champ Matt Hughes is coming up next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Matt Hughes, he's a very accomplished fighter. This guy is ready to rock and roll tonight.
Yeah.
He seems to
be that right hand landed. He's landing punches now.
Oh, the odd. Do I see some blood there? Is there a cut that's opened up here somewhere?
There is. It's got the elbow. Another big right hand. You know, Matt is just pounding him.
And now the current U.S.
UFC welterweight champion, Matt Hughes, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome to the show, Matt.
Well, thank you.
Matt Hughes is fighting this Saturday at the Arrowhead Pond. It's on pay-per-view. This mixed martial arts business has gotten bigger. I'm trying to think of a sport that has grown more in the last couple years, or even feels like year. I mean, it feels like the last 10 months that the sport has doubled in size. The Ultimate Fighting Show that you were one of the trainers on a year and a half or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. When it first came on, it was sort of like, what is this fringe thing? I wonder if people will catch on to this. It has gotten bigger in the last couple of years than anything else.
It's gotten huge. And the only thing comparable would be the World Series of Poker, how it's exploded with people playing Texas No Limit Poker now.
It's unbelievable, because when you think about given a choice between watching fat guys in wraparound sunglasses who live at home, sit around, play cards for 9 hours, or young buff guys beat the crap out of each other, isn't it an easy choice? How could they both? You know what I mean? Like, you think if there's a public and they're interested in guys beating the crap out of each other, well, then the antithesis of that is fat guys with bad facial hair playing Texas Hold'em. Right,
I think your poker players or your poker watchers would be guys from 18 to 44, and your fighters fans would be anybody, male, female. The reality series has really brought a lot of females into it.
With
the drama that goes on.
Yeah, we need a story like with porn.
Yeah, they're all living at a house in Vegas. They're all fighting each other. They break them up into teams. Matt was the coach for one of the teams.
I was the bad guy coach.
Yeah. Well, you're dripping testosterone. If you don't know what Matt Hughes looks like, he just looks like a bowl of testosterone with a clef in it.
I'm trying to think if that's good or bad.
It's good.
It's good. So, Matt, you're fighting this Saturday, and you're fighting BJ Penn. Great. Now, who's BJ Penn?
BJ beat me about 2 years ago, took the belt from me, and then retired from the UFC and fought in Japan. So, he was somewhat stripped of the belt. Being the UFC champion, you can't go around and fight in other organizations.
Right.
So they took the belt from him. Very understandable. And then I fought again for the belt and won, and currently have the belt now.
Well, most recently in May, you beat Royce Gracie.
Correct.
The Gracies were the guys with the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Not exciting, because they didn't do a lot of striking, but they would strangle guys with the sleeve of their gi. They would beat you like a Wolverine would take down a horse. You know, they just jump on you and they start doing circles around your head, and the next thing you know, you're being choked out with your own penis. That's right, the ultimate humiliation. I've been choked out with my own junk before. It is humiliating and painful.
Has that happened, Matt Hughes?
Never been choked out with my own junk, no.
Well, the Gracies, that's what they do. And they thought they were unbeatable until Matt Hughes got hold of them.
They were the original. They came up with the UFC, the original owners of the UFC. So it was kind of a setback for them when they lost to me.
Well, there were, legends in the sport. People thought the Gracies were unstoppable.
Behind the times is what I say.
Yeah, it was an old style of fighting.
Do you think this BJ has any shot at taking you down this weekend?
Well, sure. I mean, anything can happen in the octagon. There's so many ways to win and lose that there's a chance for anybody, even you. I mean, would have a somewhat of a
that's
chance.
Right, I would.
Sure, you could have a massive heart attack you were strangling Dave and fall over, and he could win.
Well, you said BJ Penn beat you before. How did he take you down?
He actually got my back and choked me.
He got behind and choked. So a grappler, like a wrestling move.
Yes.
Now, are you more of a wrestler or a striker?
I try and be well-rounded. I always work on my weaknesses, and that's what I do coming up to a fight is try to be as well-rounded as I can. You want to have good wrestling, striking, and submissions. But I'm more of a grappler.
Grappler.
Mm-hmm.
Dave's a dry humper. T?
Just submission.
Submission.
That's it.
All you have to do is say she looks a little heavy in her wrestling tights from across the octagon, and she will tap out. I think BJ Penn is on the phone. BJ?
What's going on, man?
What's going on, BJ?
Not much. I'm over here at 5 in the morning over here in Hawaii.
Oh, you haven't come out here yet, huh?
No, I was surfing yesterday, and I lost track of time. I missed my flight, so I got to fly out today.
He's messing with your head.
I don't know if I'm scared of this guy now.
So now, BJ, you're born in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You live in Hawaii, I guess.
Yeah, I was born on Oahu, and I moved to the Big Island when I was 4.
And you think you're still the champion because you were never beaten for your belt.
I just lost my last fight by a very close decision. So I'm still confident as hell. I still think I'm the best, and I'm going to come up here and try to beat Matt.
Harsh words. Try to beat Matt? How about you're going to beat him?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to make Matt feel bad at 7:45 in the morning over there. I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Well, wow. Thank you. You're very nice to me.
No love lost between these two warriors.
Yeah. Really throwing down.
Well, in a way, I mean, let's face it. You guys will be attempting to beat the crap out of each other, whether you're best friends or whether you're screaming, I effed your mom over the phone, right? I mean, it's not going to change what goes on Saturday night.
Correct.
Yeah, but it is strictly a professional thing, you know.
But, BJ, you beat him last time. Does that give you some confidence entering the octagon Saturday night?
I'm always confident, you know. But I know every fight's different, you know. I mean, if it ends up happening the same way, it ends up happening the same way. But it's not because I beat him that way the last time. Every fight is its own animal.
Now, I'm reading here on my card that you gave up training professionally for a fight.
Yeah.
So what do you do to prepare for a fight besides surf and miss flights?
No. I mean,
and wish your opponents well.
I train, but I'm just over-peaking myself and doing all these other things. I just get burnt out so quick, you know, so I just go and train. When I'm having fun, I'll train hard, train intense, and when I'm not feeling it, I'll go do something else.
Well, how does it go, Matt? What is the schedule like as far as training? Walk us through a day.
A typical day, I train in Iowa. A typical day, wake up at 6, go for a 45-minute run, come back, eat breakfast, take a mid-morning off, go to the gym about 9:30, lift weights for an hour, do some type of light technique for maybe another 45 minutes, take the whole afternoon off, eat lunch, maybe take a nap, come back to the gym at 6, hit with my boxing coach for half an hour, and then do a hard technique for an hour, and then some type of cardio after that.
It is the rounds are they 4 minutes?
Five
minutes long. And if you think a 3-minute boxing round is long, try grappling for 5 minutes. I mean, it's really amazing how long 5 minutes can be and just how taxing and tiring it can be.
You got to get in a situation where you can take a little break here and there. So, I mean, if you can put yourself in a good situation and make your opponent work, you can take a break. In certain situations.
Right. BJ.
Yes, sir.
Do not miss your next flight out here.
No, I'm on my way, man. Look, I'm at 4:30. I'm up already. I'm not going to miss this flight. I can't be messing around.
Okay. And any last words for Matt Hughes before we send you packing?
See you Saturday night, Matt.
Ooh. See ya. BJ. Never won for...
he's mellow.
I'll tell you, though, the thing about it is we always buy into it as a public where we go, wow, this one boxer seems really angry at the other guy. This guy, ooh, Mike Tyson, he's going to eat Lennox Lewis's kids. This is going to be horrible. And then cut to Lennox Lewis pounding the bejesus out of Mike Tyson and laughing in the ring. You know, there's no real correlation there. That's the scary part, but yet I'll buy into it every time.
You know, there's a big difference between boxing and the UFC. The boxers are typically the guys that, if they weren't boxing, they'd be on the streets of a major city. You know,
that's right.
Or in jail, or who knows. You guys in the UFC, you know, 3 out of the 4 world champions have college degrees. We're typically college athletes that have moved on in the UFC.
Well, you guys not all, but most of you guys started wrestling collegiately, and then that gave way to the UFC, right?
Yeah. Matt, you even coached, right?
Yes, I coached wrestling, and then I gave that up to do this full time.
Well, if you get into it with Mike Tyson out on the street, who wins?
That's an easy one.
Yeah. Easy. The wrestlers always can take down the boxers.
Yeah. Yeah. You grapple him down to the ground, he has no chance, right?
Nothing.
What about you versus Hulk Hogan? In a real fight, because he's a giant. Hulk Hogan,
I'd probably wait for him to have a stroke or something. I mean, the guy's like, what, 60 now or something?
Well, the peroxide has bleached his brain. And what I would do with the Hulkster is I'd grab him by his huge fanny pack. And I'd start spinning him around and throw him in those big parachute pants into the ropes. Yeah, but here's the thing. There are guys just to be fair, because I know Tyson listens to the show on occasion from either Vegas or Arizona or wherever he happens to be. There are guys that are strikers in the league, right? I mean, they're grapplers and they're strikers, and the guys that are strikers, meaning the punchers, you have to get in past their punch in order to get to them and grapple them to the ground. Tyson, drunk on a bar stool, he's down on the ground and he's tapping out and no problem. But if he's up and ready, you got to get past a couple of punches before you get to his midsection, right?
If he's close enough to touch me with a punch, I'm close enough to take him down.
So what about Schwarzenegger picture, Predator? Could you beat the Predator?
Beat the Predator.
Yeah.
He was tough. There's an internet site called The Forum. And there's always a bunch of idiots saying idiot things like that.
One of those idiots is Dave.
Matt Hughes versus Superman or Matt Hughes versus Godzilla.
Matt, I have a question, because these ultimate fights can be real violent, and you've got a couple of kids. Would you ever let your kids watch you fight?
My 7-year-old, he's 7 now. At the time, I think he was 5, he went to a fight of mine. He's been to 3 of my fights. So
how'd he like it?
He doesn't understand what's going on, but he gets filled in.
Probably motivates you.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's one of those things where who wants to lose in front of the kids? So
my dad didn't mind. Not in life. Not that he ever got into the octagon, but overall, I think as defined as loser. Yeah, he didn't seem to have a problem with it at all. I think he enjoyed it. All right, we need to take a break. Matt Hughes, not Matt Lose, baby. Matt Hughes in studio. Ultimate Fighter entering the octagon for the 46th time.
Wow.
That's a lot of octagon entrances. Coming up this Saturday, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, I think Matt is going to hit our Hooters punching bag, see how he scores on there. Yeah, Chuck Liddell gave it a shot when he was here a few weeks back.
In fact, he holds the record here.
He does.
648 is Chuck Liddell's
record. We're talking about a striker. That's the guy I was thinking about. When you fight Chuck Liddell, you got to get past those hands.
I wouldn't fight Chuck Liddell. He's got so much of a wrestling. He's got a big wrestling background where he can use his wrestling defensively and keep me on my feet. And he's just so much bigger than
Keeps you on your feet, and then he whacks you in the cabeza.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's why they have weight classes, my friend.
And I'm happy for them.
We will we'll take a break. I know you are, but Tad isn't. He's 333 pounds. He'd like to be a flyweight. We'll take a quick break. Back with Matt Hughes after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Let's find out what you have to say on the Jerk Hotline.
Yeah, my nominee for Jerk is Mike August. How dare he call out Duran, just a little PA struggling to make it on his way up the ladder, and challenge him to 500 bucks. This is something he gets paid to do. If he was a real man, he'd match 2 weeks of his salary against Duran's 500 bucks. Is that just free money for him anyway for doing something he's supposed to do? What a jerk. Tell you one other thing. Tell Mike August that Don Johnson called and said to put on some goddamn socks.
To nominate your jerk, call the Jerk Hotline at 323-930-7318. Dave's Jerk List is coming up later in the show. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
And in studio, guy you wouldn't call a jerk, at least to his face, Matt Hughes.
Been called a jerk many a times.
Well, a lot
happy with being called a jerk.
No problem. Well, listen, if you want to beat up someone, you beat up our own Dave Damashek. I look at him as almost expendable.
Jerk. Look, Buster, do yourself a favor and walk away.
I could choke him out for you.
Choke him out.
Seriously.
I mean, please, yeah.
Matt Hughes, is it jerk?
Hold on a second. Matt's eyes really lit up.
And I know.
He followed it with seriousness. It's serious.
What is choking him out? What does that mean?
It's not cutting the air off to the lungs or anything. It's cutting the blood off to the head. So you just go.
You can do it in a matter of seconds.
Right.
Correct.
And no. He'll be out?
He'll be out for 2, 3, 4. 5 seconds.
No, tops. No permanent tops. Damage except for when his head catches the coffee table on the way down to the floor. That's where the problem is. You would catch him.
That's sweet.
If Tad will come and stand in between the two of us, then I'll start talking stuff.
No way.
You're lucky Tad's in between. You got to stand in between us, though, Tad.
I
don't want to talk trash to Matt.
Matt Hughes, Tad, you're sporting wood now because Matt Hughes is in studio, are you not? Nobody loves the UFC like Big Tad, and he's absolutely giddy that Matt Hughes is here.
So, I'm so giddy. I'm going to the fights this Saturday night. Going to watch Matt Hughes kick some ass.
There are tickets still available at the pond, by the way. Also, I must add that on Friday, Chuck Liddell, Matt, Tito Ortiz are going to be there signing autographs at 2 p.m. If you want to get an autograph. We'll take some calls for Matt Hughes, the UFC champion. First, Brad.
How you doing, Mr. Hughes?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, man. Hey, listen, I got to give you bad props. I know it's been a while since you knocked Carlos Newton out silly. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
He paraded this guy around and slammed him down. And, Frank Trigg, epic fights. What about Frank Trigg and Hughes 3?
Well, it'll never happen. Just that I don't think the UFC is going to pay money for us to fight again. And if they did, who's going to tune in to see it? I've already beat him twice in the first round. It's just not going to happen.
How much money is this stuff doing in the pay-per-view markets? How does it compare to boxing, for instance? I know it varies from fight to fight, but what do they think they're going to do pay-per-view-wise, for instance, this Saturday?
My last pay-per-view when I fought Gracie was $650,000. It was just that day, and then you've got rebuys and everything else on top of that.
And your paycheck?
$110,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your candor.
It's public knowledge, so.
I know. All this stuff's public knowledge, and yet people will not talk about how much Playboy offered them to pose nude or how much they got to fight this or what their salaries are. So, now, that's not huge boxing money, but it's sure a lot more than you made on your first fight.
Sure. I fight three times a year, and coupled with my sponsorship money, I'm very happy.
Right. And how much were you making in the early days of the UFC?
Before I was a champion, before I got real popular, probably $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys walking in that nobody knows about are probably making anywhere from $3,000 to $8,000.
Right, so they're earning their money, yeah. As you are, but at least you got a little payday, and you don't have to fight 10 times a year. You can fight three times a year.
So my body's happy with that.
Speaking of fighting, Bill's on the line. Bill?
Yeah, good morning.
Bill, what's up with you?
How you doing, folks? Bill Jennings. I don't know too much about the whole fighting thing, but my son, Tyler, is a huge fan, and couple, whatever it is, last fight that your guest there, Mr. Hughes, was in. I walk in, I see him watching it, and I immediately recognize this guy, Mr. Hughes, from a past incident that I had.
You're saying you had a run-in with Matt Hughes?
I did indeed. I'm going to take you back, Mr. Hughes, okay?
I'm anxiously awaiting your story.
Take you back to, I'm going to go 1995, 96, around then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living out in Decatur.
So it's about 10 years ago. You're out in Decatur.
I'm in Decatur, and I've since relocated to the Southland. But my family's out there. I'm driving through Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
I got a 93 F-150, and I got my boys in there. I got Bill Jr. And Tyler.
Standard cab or crew cab?
It's a crew cab. It's
okay,
a crew.
Nice.
And I'm coming out. I'm driving down by Kiwanis Park, coming out, making that left at Division onto Harrison.
Now, are you from this area?
That's where I went to school. Yeah,
Originally from Decatur. Yeah, I'm originally from Decatur.
Charleston, Illinois is the home of Eastern Illinois University.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay.
Uh-huh. Anywhere near DeKalb?
No, DeKalb's way north.
North, okay. All right, I'm sorry, Bill. Continue. So you guys are in the same town.
We're right by Springfield, right over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coming out. All of a sudden, I see, here comes a car. The guy's not paying attention. He looks up. He sees me the last second. He locks it up. Our bumpers touch. Who knows whose fault it is, but I don't think it's mine. Next thing I know, it's this guy, Mr. Hughes, is out of his car.
Mm.
He's running around the side of my car. He's pulling my car open, and he drags me out into the intersection there.
Mm.
And like I said,
wow.
Like Matt's looking at me like he doesn't.
And what kind of car was I driving?
You know, it was a dark model. You know, I'm not looking at the car. I'm looking at the guy who's running towards me, ripping my door open.
It's all blur. Yes, that's right.
Next thing I know, he's doing all kinds of wrestling stuff on me. He's got me in some kind of a choke.
And your kids are in your car.
They're in the truck.
Horrified, I imagine, at what's happening to Daddy.
No. It was a good story. I mean, you had me with the streets and everything, but because you somewhat know about
Bill, Charles, what happened? Because maybe we can trigger something in Matt Hughes' memory.
Maybe this will jog his memory.
Okay.
Next thing I know, My gym pants are being pulled down, and he's got his thumb crammed. Can I say ass?
Matt.
This is one of Matt's signature moves. Yes. If you saw him in the...
I checked his oil.
If you saw him in the... if you saw him in the Casey fight, you'll know that this is a submission hold that Matt uses all the time.
I was getting punked out by Fonzie. Smell his thumb.
Well...
you're going to tell me that didn't happen.
That's his dipstick.
Matt, Bill, first off...
Little Jack Horner over there. Little Jack Horner.
It was 10 years. You saw Matt...
I was a pie.
You saw Matt on TV. I don't think it was the same guy.
I'm not even going to say what the plump is, okay?
Maybe he was hitchhiking.
Yeah.
His thumb got stuck.
Look, there's a lot of white guys in Illinois that it could have...
I put this guy up on a pedestal before every other kid's going to say, yeah, that's my hero. I realize that your hero...
why'd you do that, Matt?
Yeah, Matt, why would you do something like that?
I don't know.
Why?
All right, listen, Bill, I do understand as a parent now that having your young son stand up and cheer for a man who violated you some 10 years earlier on the streets of Illinois. I understand you'd have mixed feelings about that.
Well, it's not mixed. I feel one way.
And that one way is?
You're soiled. Yes, I understand, Bill. All right, damaged goods, going to therapy. Matt, whether you did do it or didn't do it, it's none of my business.
I just plead the fifth. How's that?
It's none of my business. I don't mind that kind of street justice. Guy cuts you off, that's what happens. Sometimes you cut off an old Asian lady. Other times you cut off a guy on his way to the octagon, and then he cuts off your blood supply. The more you know. Matt Hughes.
Matt the Thumb Hughes.
Matt the Thumb Hughes. Matt, punch that Hooters bag one time before we bid you adieu and before you enter the octagon. Saturday, 7 o'clock, Arrowhead Pond. Still tickets, and also you can go to the pay-per-view. Yeah, hit it right in the sweet spot there.
Chuck Liddell with 648, the record.
Well, Chuck is a striker.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Usually it takes people a couple till they get it.
Yeah, take another one. That 336. Not a great one, but if you'd
we'll
like
give
to...
give another try.
Hold on. Matt is now choking out the bag. Matt is taking the machine down. He's got into a submission hold, and he's choking it out. Pruska giving him instructions. He's throwing the hook. And he threw a left-hand hook?
Yeah. Are you lefty? No.
You're right-handed. Wow. He just won 454 with the left hand, which is the ambidextrous champ, as far as I'm concerned,
here in
the studio. All right. Matt Hughes. Oh.
Smash that one.
Yeah, he just threw a left hook at the bag, which is what makes boxing guys and guys who fight in general scary, that they could knock you out with both hands. If you run into a guy in the street, don't worry about his weak arm. Don't worry about his left hand. Don't worry about his front hand. He's going to try to clobber you with his big right. But the guys who do it for a living can knock you out with both hands. Matt, thank you for coming in. I'm sorry about Bill.
It's all right. I'm sorry for Bill.
He called in when Chuck Liddell was in here and wove the same tale. So I don't know. Pardon the pun. I don't know if it's true or not. Matt Hughes, again, at the pond this Saturday. Good luck to you, Matt.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. And as I said, the ultimate farting champion, Jimmy Kimmel, up next.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh? Closer.
The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Britney Spears and current husband Kevin Federline have finally settled on a name for their new son. The boy's name, as rumored, is Sutton Pierce. His initials are SP, like his big brother, Sean Preston Federline. Both of their initials are SPF. Which is ironic for children whose parents will never, ever remember to put sunscreen on them.
Jimmy Kimmel on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, here he is. Jimmy Kimmel.
What's happening?
Well, I guess we're going to talk a little San Gennaro feast as well as many other topics, Jimmy.
That's right. Oh, we have other topics as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wish I would have made notes and prepared for this. I didn't know.
First order business, I hear there's a problem with David and I.
Why are we banned from your house on Sunday football?
Because you guys, you think I don't listen? I listen to every second of this friggin' show. I heard you bad-mouthing my flat-screen television. I'll tell you something. You can say whatever you want about my kids. You can say whatever you want about my girlfriend, but you do not insult my 50-inch television set.
That is a beautiful
television.
I think we may have insulted the 110-inch one.
That's even more unacceptable.
Yeah, you're right. It's a projection set, and we were trying to do a little plug for Panasonic, and we did cross the line, Jimmy.
One thing led to another.
All right. You're on probation.
I was drunk when I did that Panasonic spot.
Is there any way they can make it up to you?
You're not allowed to go in the living room this weekend. You can sit out in the kitchen area.
Oh, Pa. Who calls anyone Pa anymore? So, Jimmy, first off, the show's been great. Your late night show, that is.
Thank you, Adam.
I must say it's been, well, three years, 8 months, something like that?
Yeah, 9 months.
Picked up early, right?
Yeah, we got picked up for fifth season.
And it seems to me in late night shows, you don't have to, I don't have to tell you, I can speak from personal experience, they go under faster than new restaurants out here in Los Angeles. And it seems like you're out of the woods now. You're hitting your stride. I even saw one of these shows on CNN where they were doing this thing where they were getting a polling of late night TV hosts.
Yeah.
And you were included right in there with Leno, Kimmel, Letterman. It was one of those things. Even to be now included into that group, accepted into that group.
Right, but here's the thing that's dangerous. You know what they say, once you get out of the woods, that's when one of your friends accidentally shoots you as you're trying to get in the truck.
That's true. It's a very good point.
You really have to be careful.
Go back in the woods.
Yes, back into the woods.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I was going to say, tonight on your show, Jimmy, you have The Rock.
Yes, I do.
And he's been very important to our Outbook August competition here.
I know. People are, I don't know, I feel a lot of pressure about potentially being one of the judges on this thing because I'm somewhat biased, and The Rock is a pretty big star.
I agree. There's still plenty of time left to Outbook August and win my $10,000. Lennox Lewis called in yesterday, and we spoke to him for 15 minutes. And the thing that was nice about Lennox Lewis, I don't know if he's a bigger star than The Rock.
You say no.
No. In fact, there's a lot of people, other people whose last name is Lewis, who are bigger stars than Lennox Lewis.
Carl?
Huey Lewis.
Well, I don't know. Lennox Lewis probably has made more money than The Rock in the last 10 years.
Yeah, but I mean, seriously, nobody gives... I mean, he's Lennox Lewis. He's not even an American.
You like Huey Lewis in the news?
Well, decent point. But he called in. Maybe it's just because I'm a boxing fan, but he called in, and we talked money. And that's the thing. It's not only do you come in or do you call in, but how open are you? Can we talk about things? If you're Willie Nelson, will you talk about smoking the weed?
Does it really? Does all that stuff count?
Yeah.
I think it is, because I feel like if somebody just calls in, shouts out their website, and collects the money, that's not as good as somebody calling in and talking about some lesbian affair they had when they were a sophomore in college.
Have a lesbian
affair? He did.
That was the most shocking part. Well, can I ask you, you're going to have that Bam fellow on your show tonight.
And Bam Margera.
Yes, and he's rumored to have, he's talking a lot about being with Jessica Simpson. Will you ask him?
Yeah, sure, I'll ask him.
Okay, good.
I mean, I don't know that he'll give me a straight answer, but I'll ask him.
Well, what do you think? Because I remember when he did my show, 8 months ago, and that was the big rumor at the time, but he wouldn't talk about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now it's resurfaced again, which makes me think, well, maybe there's something to it.
I thought he said he slept in a bed with her, but nothing actually happened.
Well, get to the bottom of it, would you?
I'll try. I'll do my best.
Give him two choices. Either he nailed her or he's gay. Because if you sleep in a bed with her...
He does wear a lot of eye makeup.
So, San Gennaro, let's talk about that. That's coming up this weekend with the Prima Notte, which is the opening night this Thursday.
For people who don't know what the San Gennaro feast is, it's something that, I don't know if it started in Italy, but it came to New York, and it's a big deal in New York. Every year, at the third week of September, all the Italian restaurants in Little Italy have stands, and they line the streets with cannolis and zeppoles and prosciutto and all sorts of things. And I wanted to do that here in Los Angeles. So about 7 years ago, we started having it in my backyard. And people would bring over little dishes that they'd make. And then it was more like a potluck back then. But we decided to make it into this big charity event. And each year, it's gotten bigger and bigger. We had like 50,000 people come through last year. And this year, we've moved it back into Hollywood so that we can accommodate all the people. If you're in Hollywood, right there by Hollywood and Highland, which was nice enough to give us parking there at the Hollywood Highland Center, you can see there are almost 100 stands already set up, little tents, yeah, red, white, and green, and those will be filled with food vendors and also vendors of Italian crap.
Yes, you walk around, and you eat, and you throw the kids on the zipper, and you and the old lady get a slice, and it's a nice night.
When is the first night?
The first night is Thursday night. That's tomorrow night. That's called Prima Notte, which means first night in Italian. That is the private charity event. So if you want to come to that, go on our website, which is feastofla.org. And for $100, you can come. And for $250, you can come and have a table. And it's like one of those all-you-can-eat type of deals. And it's a lot of fun. We'll have entertainment. Anita Baker is going to be there. One of the great Italian performers.
Sure.
And it's for a good cause, yes?
Yeah, actually, Anita Baker and Bill Conti are going to be there together singing. We got this guy from Italy who's supposed to be fantastic, although I've not seen him yet. He's going to be there. Even Justin Guarini will be lending his talent to this evening.
I remember 2 years ago when the great Italian entertainer Lou Rawls was there singing. That's the point. Whatever color you are, whatever your nationality is, come on down, have some pizza.
Well, and there are a lot of noteworthy Italian Americans walking around. Rubbing elbows with them, like Buttafuoco was there last year, I remember, and Lasorda, right?
Well, yeah, Buttafuoco was there selling ice cream, I think. But Joe Mantegna comes every year.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of celebrities there. And, of course, me and Adam will be there.
We'll be there. Please don't talk to us. I'm trying to eat. Please let me just take the bite out of this pizza before I have to take it and shake your dirty hand. But we'll be there on Thursday for the Prima Notte and throughout the weekend. And I must say, Jimmy, it's really the Lord's work you're doing, because L.A. is a place that has a boys town. And it has a little Ethiopia.
And a little Armenia.
And a little Armenia. And by the way, I would argue that you do not get a little version of your country or your place until you've added a second story to one of your buildings. You need to get two stories in Ethiopia before you actually start your own annex of Ethiopia over here in Los Angeles. Ethiopia is the little Ethiopia. I've argued that many times. You want to go to little Ethiopia? Go to Ethiopia. It's both. We have no Little Italy in this town. We have
We have one this weekend.
Tomorrow night, right there by Hollywood and Highland.
And this is
the folks at Precious Cheese and Ralph's and Pontiac and Wells Fargo and KABC here who've all donated their money and time to let us do this. So.
And it's really nice. And as corny as this sounds, it's a lovely legacy. No one will ever remember you started it, Jimmy.
But no, I'll just remember my heart attack there on stage.
That's right. What happened to Jimmy? Well, he was eating a 50-pound ball of cheese and he died up there on stage with Tommy Lasorda. But we continued on. The great Jimmy Kimmel. Also, Jimmy, not only the show on ABC every night, but you got a game show coming up. We got Windy City Heat.
Yeah, Windy City Heat comes out on Tuesday. Nope. Windy City Heat, if you don't know anything about it, is a prank movie that we made, and it is impossible to explain, but in fact, Vice Magazine just put out an article today, said it is the greatest thing ever created.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, the greatest thing ever created. So
not movie, thing.
It transcends the movie genre. It's better than any invention. The thing about this film, and I'm saying this, I was one of the producers, had a very small part in it, but I'm not saying, I lay no claim to this movie creatively. This is the only movie that my father, or the only project, or the only thing I've ever been involved with that my father saw and actually said he enjoyed. That's number one.
I can't believe he liked this.
No higher praise than the quiet man who normally lets his afro do his talking. Not his fist, but his huge hair do his talking. He loves this movie, and everyone who has seen it loves it. It is underground, but it is one of the funniest
Quentin
movies
Tarantino,
you'll ever see.
Tarantino, the Jackass guys love it. Along with you, Ace, it's got Dane Cook in it and Carson Daly and the very funny Tony Barbieri and Don Barris. It's a decade-long mess with a retarded guy who doesn't know.
If right. you like effing with people, this is the greatest movie ever made.
Right, so that'll be out Tuesday, this coming Tuesday,
That's
the 26th.
Right. Go online and order it. Windy City Heat is the name of the movie.
All right, and Prima Notte Thursday night, as well as the Feast of San Gennaro.
And all weekend, too.
All weekend.
How can people get tickets, or do you just show up?
You just show up. Actually, you can go to feastofla.org if you want to come to our big Prima Notte event. Otherwise, we're right there behind the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood all weekend, and you can come and just walk around and eat. It really is a lot of fun.
And again, see The Rock and Bam Margera tonight on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Jimmy, we'll
Thanks,
see
Adam.
You Thursday
Thanks,
night.
Dave. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
And I just want to say, Jimmy, if I'm ever invited to Football Sunday, I won't complain about the television.
It was in the context of a Panasonic commercial, T.
I'm just saying.
I got to say, one of the things that's nice about having some celebrity is being able to do things that you formerly couldn't do.
Like?
When you're just a working stiff, you have no connections, there's nobody in your Rolodex. It's not all about having money, it's about having connections.
Sure.
I mean, we were sitting in the Man Show office six years ago, and Jimmy said, we need to have our own Prima Notte. We need to have our own Feast of San Gennaro right here in Los Angeles. And we got Doug DeLuca, one of our producers, in the office. And a few phone calls later, it was sort of up and running. Now, the first one was very sparse, just in a parking lot, handful of people. Dave, you probably attended that one. But it grew a little and grew a little. And last year, as Jimmy said, 50,000 people.
I will say, in New York, it's magical. Like, all the little lights are up on the street and the food's amazing.
It's like that here now, too. As it's grown, it gets more spectacular each year.
Right. Eventually, it'll be like Tailhook. That's what I'm looking for. I just want eventually the porn industry will co-opt it somehow. And right next to the cannolis, there'll be butt plugs and strap-ons. It'll be awesome. Bring the kids. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. What we got next? Oh, Norm MacDonald still coming up on the show. Some call him a comedic genius. I really do think he's hysterical. Norm will be on the show. And the jerk list still coming up. We're doing it next. Oh. The jerk list next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Jerks!
The jerk list.
The eye sees all.
There's too many jerks.
That's what I love about
jerks.
The jerk list.
A severe penalty for being a jerk.
Yes. The jerk list.
Jerks! Jerks!
What an outrage.
Shame! You're a jerk.
The jerk list.
There's too many jerks. Jerk, jerk, jerk. Shame! Yes. Yes.
The jerk list.
Judge rules. Jerk!
Well, we wait all week for this day.
I'm already waiting for the Creep of the Week song.
I got to tell you, I love that song. My wife loves that song. Dave didn't sing it 2 weeks ago. We had to go back and hear it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we made up for it last week. I sang it twice last week.
I'd like to get that baby on my iPod or outgoing phone message.
Let's not jump the gun.
All right, I will wait.
Do the creeps and the jerks still have time to run?
No. Listen, they can start. They can make for the hills if they wish. There's no hiding from justice.
Mm. Well, let it
and
begin.
And justice, Damashek, be thy name. Is that the way it goes?
Yes.
Something like that. All right. To quote the great Marvin Gaye, let's get it on. I begin by saying thanks. I'm overwhelmed by all the calls to the jerk hotline. So many. You know, it's clear that the days of the jerks and creeps ruling our soil are through. Thanks to all the people gathering to bring them down. You know, they say that you should, think globally, act locally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, it's time to do that again with this week's jerk
list. How local?
I only have, as a matter of fact, 3 jerks this week. But they're so good that I'm just going to focus on them. First of all,
My wife, Cindy.
What?
My bride, Cindy. Listen, she asked me to go to the grocery store the other day. I said, fine, I'll stop on my way home. You know, I'm happy to chip in. 21st century fella, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she works long hours.
I'll carry the load. So be it. But she said, I said, just make me a list of what you want. So she gives me a list. It's sitting there by my keys as I leave in the under the cloak of night to come to work. It's a gigantic piece of paper that's in the shape of grapes. It's this big purple thing, and
it says
grocery list on it. It's going to be posted online in just a minute. This big purple thing. I'm a grown man walking through the grocery store with a big thing of grapes that says stuff on it like, you know, thin pads and stuff
like
that.
It is paper cut out in the shape of grapes.
Yes, in purple. It couldn't be worse. I felt shamed. And
David, you know, that is nothing short of an attack.
I agree. It reminds me of when my mother, Mo, in third grade, I opened my lunchbox on Valentine's Day, and she had cut my sandwich into the shape of a heart.
Aww.
That's embarrassing, too.
My dad did the same thing with a pentagram.
Well, listen, Cindy, Mo, loving women in my life. But today, jerks! All right. Wow. Listen, quickly, before we get to the two gems I got waiting for you, I do want to give the Get Out of Jerk Free card.
Ooh.
Shall we switch? Yes. It's time to go to the Get Out of Jerk Free card. A couple nights ago, there was a legendary ball game that people will be talking about, played in Dodger Stadium. You know, Chavez Ravine, the Dodgers came back from 9-5 down in the bottom of the ninth. Four straight home runs. Then in extra innings, Nomar Garciaparra won the game. Here's the problem. A lot of the people left the game and didn't see the end of it.
I ran into Robert Wool, or however you pronounce his last name. It's Robert Wool, right?
Yes.
I ran into him yesterday doing that Byron Allen comedy show I taped last night. And he said he was at the Dodger game the day before, and he was amongst the people that left. He was in the parking lot when the first home run was hit. And I said, well, Robert, still a funny story to tell. And he said, no. I wish I was there.
Absolutely. And listen, yeah, I could call him and everybody else who left early a jerk, just like I could call the people that left the Oregon-Oklahoma college football game this weekend early jerks. But instead, I'll be benevolent, and I'll say those of you who stick around, who pay your money and stick around because you never give up hope, you get the Get Out of Jerk Free card because you are heroes.
Nice.
And rooting on your team.
So do we need to present a ticket stub or something? I mean, how would one cash in on
Let's
that?
Let's go that way. Yes,
okay.
But know in your soul you have the Get Out of Free card.
That's people who stayed.
Yes. Now, back to the local thing I referred to earlier. This one's heavy, too.
Tad.
It's Jim Brusca. Jim Brusca. And here's why. Yesterday, there's an anonymous... I've been asked not to mention the person's name, but he wishes to remain anonymous, but... Here's his eyewitness account of what happened in the kitchenette yesterday.
Wait, has his voice
Dude,
been altered?
I was sitting at the kitchen table yesterday, looking at my MySpace, and Brusca's bitching about his wife not waking up at 3 in the morning to make him breakfast? Dude, come on.
Well, the dudes maybe kind of give it away, but let's just leave them anonymous. They did alter the voice. But the fact is that Brusca makes his wife, as we've discussed, wake up and cook him breakfast at 3 a.m. in spite of the fact that she's a principal. Oh, and by the way, 7 months pregnant.
I know. She has a full-time job, 7 months pregnant, and Brusca rolls her out of bed like a hobo at the crack of dawn and yells, get in that kitchen and start rattling them pots and pans, bitch.
Brusca, husband, producer, and today, jerk! And by the way, momentous occasion, I say, because you know the rules, Brusca. This is strike three.
Uh-oh.
This is your third time.
Oh, no.
Come on the jerk list. Hey, Barry Bonds in the jerk hall of shame. You finally have company. The second member, Jim Brusca.
Here's the thing. If Brusca was juicing, it would have to be juice that his wife fresh squeezed.
Once every 2 months, I use Brusca as an example with my wife. I say, you know, his bride wakes up every morning, makes him breakfast, packs him lunch, and my wife always says, this usually takes place on a Friday afternoon. She's emboldened by the weekend and announces, hey, you want me to get up? I'll get up Monday morning. I'll make eggs. I go, all right, well, why don't you do that? Then Sunday night, about 10:45, will announce to me that she's not up to
it. Well, if you want to use Brusca as an example, now you can just take Lynette, take a nice little drive down to the Hall of Shame, and there he'll be caged like an animal. Jerk!
It's not fair.
Silence. Now it is time for the creep of the week.
Oh, good.
Creep, creep, creep of the week, of the week. He or she is the creep of the week.
Yeah.
Well, the jerk hotline yielded something spectacular beyond my wildest dreams this week.
Wow.
Ace, I know you also have condemned drunk dialing for fellas before. I remember on the Man Show,
I wanted
really
a device, a breathalyzer that was put in the phone, much like the one that's put in Big Tad's ignition system of his ironically named Chevy Celebrity. Probably wouldn't see a celebrity cruising Tad's 81 Celebrity. But the point is, yes, you will order pizzas, you will call old girlfriends, you will call dads and parents and threaten them. It's a horrible thing to dial drunk.
Well, sir, your work is done because we now have Exhibit A for the worst drunk dial maybe in man's recorded history. Somehow they called the jerk hotline, the worst place you could have possibly left this message.
Uh-oh.
Let's just sit back and enjoy.
Jen, it's me again. I'm still drunk. I decided that I'm not going to give up on this relationship.
You think he's talking to Jen?
I don't know. I know you probably hate me. I just love you so much. And I know I'll never get another chance to be with someone as beautiful as you, as smart as you.
Oh, tell me this goes on.
As talented as you. As smart as you. I just love you so much. I just can't go on without you.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Wow.
Here's the good news. Two bits of good news. One, that was no bit.
Yeah.
If somebody did, they're a marvelous actor.
And wow. If you are Jim or Jen, please get in touch with us.
Well, here's how you know it wasn't one of our bits. We're all laughing. That's the giveaway. That's the tell. In poker, they call that a tell.
Right.
Oh, here's the sweetest detail. That goes on for 9.5 minutes.
Whoa!
We edited it down. Oh, yes, there's much, much, much more. Oh. And perhaps we'll share that at a later date. But, yes, we have to get to more of that. But, listen, Jen, if you were the intended recipient of that, as Teresa says, please call in. Fella who left that message, shame though you may be, please call in. But for now, the creep of the week is drunk dialing and the resulting possible suicide.
Yes.
All right, maybe we'll play the rest later.
Please.
But let's close the book on another jerk list.
The Jerk List with Dave Damashek. Until next time, don't be a jerk.
Nicely done. And I'm surprised to say that Norm MacDonald is in our green room. He's cleanly shaven. He looks sober. He looks alert. And we'll be talking to him. I'm very excited about this because I'm a big fan. Norm MacDonald, next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. From Norm MacDonald's new CD, Ridiculous.
The Jaguars come into this game as big favorites, but will they live up to the hype?
Well, they are big favorites, Jim. No doubt about that. 9.5 points, to be exact. Now, what that means is, if a person bet the Jaguars on a parlay with, let's say, Cincinnati, who, as we know, won earlier today, that would pay that person 13-5. So, if a person had bet, let's say, $127,000, that would pay off $457,200. That would cover any bad wagers that person would have made in the past. Why, it's like wiping the slate clean, Jim. That person would be even for the first time in his life.
Ridiculous, in stores now. And here he is, the Saturday Night Live alumnus, Norm MacDonald, on The Adam Carolla Show.
Norm, it's like Ty Pennington got to your head and made you over. The last time I saw you, you had a gray beard.
Oh, yeah.
You really...
Why did you say I was sober? I don't drink.
Wow. You don't drink?
I don't drink, and I don't do drugs, but it's an odd
really?
Thing. Yeah, I don't do anything.
Hold on, but,
You've never been a drinker?
Oh, I have in the past when I was a young boy, but I get scared. Like, you know, when you're young, do anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because you don't think you're going to die. So when I was young, people just hand me pills. I had to eat them. And then I got older, and I was like, damn, man, I'm going to die. I'm not going to do nothing.
Right.
So,
but you still gamble. That's a vice, right?
It's a vice, but it's not life-threatening in any way.
Right, unless your bookie kills you.
Right. It's quality of life-threatening, arguably.
I'll tell you something. Bookies don't really kill you.
They don't. They want their money back.
They want the money. They want to make a deal.
Norm.
I had a bookie take all my money and because I won so much. And then my buddy's like, oh, man, you got to break his leg and stuff, right? And I'm like, what? I'm already out all this money. I'm not going to...
Yeah, you won a bet. What was it, like $100,000 or something?
Yeah,
and he
it just
didn't pay off.
Hmm. Now, what were you betting on? Were you betting on football? What was
football mostly, yeah. But it became crazy where it was like basketball every single day.
So, Norm, you have not had a drink in how long?
Well, first of all, I'm not an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
That's so I don't count
the first
the days.
Thing alcoholics yeah. say.
No, alcoholics count the days of they
right.
know how long it's been.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'll go to a party, a guy will go, hey, what do you want to drink? I go, just give me a water. And then they'll go, are you alcoholic? And I'm like, no, man, you're the guys that are drinking.
Right.
You know, I want a water. And they go, oh, yeah, no, we understand.
So
it's
you
like,
don't.
All right, I'll drink.
So you don't.
I'll get drunk out of my mind and barf all over myself if it'll take away the stigma of being an alcoholic. But no, I don't drink. I never had much of a taste for it, you know. I had bad experiences with it,
mm-hmm.
and I never took to drugs, but I know when I do stand-up and stuff, people are always like, oh, what are you on, man? I got to guess something what you're on, because I mumble, and I haven't got a good way of talking.
Well, my take is you're eccentric. You're definitely genius IQ. I mean, there's no arguing of that. You're a highly intelligent man.
I don't know about that. I'm not educated.
Yes, but you have a great brain on you. Lots of math used trying to figure out parlays and
exactas.
I'm very good at math. I was very good at math when I was a young boy.
Things like that. And so not addicted to anything but women and gambling.
Not women, no.
Just gambling.
Not interested.
Married?
No interested in women at all.
No?
I was married, yeah.
And now single?
Yeah, but I'm old.
Well, what do you mean you're not interested in women at all?
I have no interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when I was a young boy, you know, I would always, that's what I was interested in.
Right.
Get me some woman.
I heard, you know, Norm, now Norm's funny because Norm is, Norm is one of these guys that I don't think men think women are attracted to, but women are very attracted to. Mm. It's an interesting category. They're guys out there like Brad Pitt or Ben Affleck or whoever that we all know women are into. Then they're the guys who we don't think women are into, but they are, such as Norm Macdonald. You had a lot of offers come your way, like when you were on SNL, for instance, right?
No.
I hear Elle McPherson threw herself at you.
Well, it might have been like because you're on TV or something, you know what I mean?
Still, it's Elle McPherson.
And a lot of guys are on TV, but she was throwing herself at you.
I wouldn't say that, but you got to go to when you were pre on the TV, and then women didn't like me.
Right, and then once you start doing the news on SNL, then...
No women ever threw herself at me in my life, but I don't know, why we get all into this?
Oh, you're getting shy? So are you done with women? Are you celibate?
I'm not celibate. You know, I don't know how to say it, but I, like,
try.
You know when you go to, like, bed and watch, like, a dirty thing on the TV?
Right.
And then you do that filthy, shameful thing afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
I do that.
Right.
Like, every day.
Okay.
So that's, like, sexual, but, like I don't got no time to, like, I don't want to go out, eat dinner with a lady, and then maybe afterwards... Because it seems like, you know, a guy. I want to have sex with a lady. She wants to have dinner with me.
Right.
And then It's not like I can go, okay, can I have dinner with you, and then we can have sex. You can't say that.
Right.
You got to go have the dinner, and then maybe have the sex, and I don't want to eat dinner with a lady. I'd rather eat dinner by myself quick.
Right, so you eat dinner quick, and then go home and have sex with yourself.
Yeah, that's what usually happens, yeah.
Or so, you could mix the two loves by raping the Arby's sandwich that you're bringing home. That's what I do.
Well, he's a gambling man, and the odds aren't that good.
I knew a friend, man, that some guys can get any women they want, you know? I'm sure you know that type, you know? It's not like they're incredibly handsome or anything, but just somehow they have some about them. And my buddy Bill...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy could get any lady. I'm telling you, literally had sex with a different woman every night. I asked him, I said, what's your secret, you know? He said, I'm a serial rapist.
Stop. Did you say that on The View the other day when you were on The View?
I didn't go on The View. They don't want me on there.
Why? Thought you were on The View.
No, they don't like me anymore.
Why won't they have you?
Well, one time they wanted me to go on The View, right? Mm. So I was like up all night, like for a long time, because I was in my gambling days and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy kept phoning me, the producer of The View, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, Bill Geddes.
Yeah, that's the guy, yeah. And so he kept having ideas, like funny ideas I could do, you know?
Right.
Like they have those guys, you know?
Right.
So
here's a funny idea. Let's not talk about rape. Like ideas like that.
Is that bad?
No, it's fine with me. It's just funny. It strikes me with Norm and with me sometimes, you talk to producers about funny ideas maybe you shouldn't be doing.
Oh, they do that.
You pinched him the rape thing?
More do-nots than do's.
Yeah, they do that. They go, hey, don't swear on The View like you're going to swear. Like
right.
You're that retarded.
Here's an idea for your segment. Don't use the N-word.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? How did you end up offending?
So anyways, the guy kept following me with these crazy like ideas. He'd go like, hey, why don't you come out with like a red wig on? And I'm like, why would I do that? And he goes, the gals are teasing Barbara about her new hair tint. I'm like, that seems all right. I'm, you know, because I'm trying to be nice. I have a hard time saying no, you know. So I'm like, yeah, maybe. He goes, and then so finally I go, I'll think of something, you know. So I'm at a poker table the whole time talking to him, and, you know, because I used to play for like 70 hours straight. And so he keeps phoning. He's like, I got it, man. He's like, you carry out a cell phone onto the show, right? And then he goes, halfway during the show, your cell phone rings, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's your agent, Morty. You know? Mm-hmm. So you pick it up. You're like, hey, man, I'm on The View. This is no time to talk here, Morty. You know, he goes, Morty's not on the line. You just pretend, you know?
Right.
This is a terrible time, Morty. I'm on the TV, you know? So I go, oh, yeah, that sounds good, you know, with no intention of really doing
right.
it.
Right. Now, what time did you go to bed that night?
I didn't go to bed. So I'm driving to the stupid View, right? And I go, I had this story about Cosby, so I go, I'll do that story about meeting Bill Cosby, you know? So I show up, and they're putting makeup on, and I go, what are you going to talk about? I go, I'm cool, man. Just tell them, do you ever meet Bill Cosby? So as I'm walking in, the producer, unbeknownst to me, slips the cell phone in, you know? He goes, remember our bit? And I go, yeah.
You got out of the red wig, though.
Yeah, I know. I did have to do that. This is going to be a long story, but what happened was...
It's good, though.
I went out of The View, and, you know, they're supposed to just talk to you. Now, this was when... this was a long time, but this was when President Bush was... he wasn't the president. He was running for the presidency,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So I don't know nothing about politics.
Right.
But Ben Stein had called me, and he said that... You know Ben Stein.
Sure.
Yes.
And Ben Stein had called me and said, hey, George Bush is coming to L.A., and... you know, some celebrities are going to meet him. Would you like to meet him?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, yeah, that'd be cool, meeting a guy that might be to come to president.
Right.
And so, you know, like when Clinton came, like there was like 10,000, like Streisand and Schwarzenegger, everybody, you know, showed up. And then when Bush showed up, it was just me and Ben Stein.
He used to be a speechwriter for Nixon.
Yeah. That is a very sobering homecoming for Bush. Just Norm MacDonald and Ben Stein at the airport.
Good God. I got to talk to him for a half hour in Air Force One. Anyway.
Wow.
The story is I go on The View, and as soon as I get on The View, I'm all tired and everything. I'm like, all right, ladies, what's going on in the news? Bill Cosby? What's going on? And so all of a sudden, they show a picture of me standing next to George Bush, who's running for presidency. And they go, hey, check this out. Whoa, Norm, like... You know, as if it was a picture of Kurt Waldheim standing behind side Hitler in the woods or something, you know? And I'm like, what's this all about? You know, like I'm crazy.
Right.
And I go, I don't know. So just to get on their nerves, I go, well, it's better than that last guy, Clinton. He murdered a guy. And so then Barbara Walters like went all crazy. And she's like, what did you say, young man, you know? And I'm like, I thought it was a matter of public record. Like, I just tried to get more. I go, didn't he murder a guy? I heard he murdered that Vince Foster guy, and they pretended it was a suicide or something. And I'm like, isn't that a matter of public record? She's like, listen, you're treading on thin ice, mister. He should come out and call me mister. I'm like, no, I thought he murdered a guy. I said it about six times, you know. So and she's like, what about Bill Cosby?
To be fair to her, she thought you were Tim Meadows. To be fair to her.
So anyways, and so the whole audience is all in shock and awe and everything. They don't know how to react to this, all craziness. And all of a sudden, like, my cell phone rings, right?
You got the bit, yeah.
The bit. Morty's on the phone.
I'd forgotten about it. It was coming from the speakers. I didn't know what it was like that. And so then it occurred to me, and I pulled out the cell phone. I'm like, hey, Morty, this is a terrible time to call, right? So then Barbara Walsh goes, what are you doing, you know? And I go, I don't know. It's like, that retard in the back told me to pretend to Morty was calling. And then she goes, she just stared at me for like 3 seconds. She goes, you are one piece of work, mister.
Wow.
And that was the end of that.
She just said it was Vince Foster calling from the beyond.
She's calling from hell. Says he'll see you soon, Barbara.
Rosie O'Donnell hates me too, so.
Norm MacDonald in studio.
That was a long, dull story.
I liked it.
And,
there was no interplay.
I'd like to hear why Rosie O'Donnell hates you as well. Not this second. We're going to take a break. Norm MacDonald here. First CD, comedy CD, Ridiculous, which is coming out September. Oh, it's out.
Yeah, it's out, man. It's selling like hotcakes.
The first one, a comic genius like Norm MacDonald, and yet he had his hymen busted only once with a comedy CD, and it's called Ridiculous. We'll take a quick break. Back with Norm MacDonald after this.
I feel like I'm talking too much.
Less ads, more Adam. You asked for it. The Adam Carolla Show. All this month on The Adam Carolla Show, you can win $10,000, and all you got to do is outbook August in September.
Well, it's put up or shut up time, Mike August.
That's right, Mike August, our talent booker, has been coming in a little below the mark. So Adam's going to give $10,000 to whoever books the best guest in September.
That person shall be me.
Outbook August in September.
It's 10 grand of my money.
A listener got Willie Nelson.
Wow, Willie.
Hello there.
August didn't get Don King. Jerron the intern got Tony Hawk. August got stood up by Tara Reid.
It's not looking good.
The contest is open to everyone, even Mike August.
I have big plans for September. You'll see.
All right.
You'll all see.
Outbook August in September.
Mike August can't even book himself into the studio.
Here's Adam on The Adam Carolla Show.
Norm MacDonald in studio. Norm's got a new CD out called Ridiculous. Norm, when we left off, we were talking about Bill Cosby and you never getting to tell your Bill Cosby story on The View, but yeah, you can certainly tell it here.
Oh, Bill Cosby. Well, I opened for Bill Cosby, and I was really excited, you know, because I'm a comedian, and he was like the first comedian I ever heard and everything, mm-hmm. And I still love him, you know. And so I was real excited and everything, and and we're performing. Oh, my Lord. It was like an entire football field, right?
Well, where is it?
It was LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, it was Tulsa. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And,
you didn't have to correct yourself.
And so I get there, and it's an entire football field and a little tiny stage, and I have no way of knowing how to, you know. So I'm like, you know, anyone have an answering machine? And you're just, they're just talking to each other. You
right.
know? I have no idea of how to talk to this many people, you know, so they completely ignore me for the whole thing. But, you know, they don't hate me or anything. They just
right.
don't notice me.
They're ambivalent.
So I'm like, how on earth, you know? So I was interested in seeing how Bill Cosby do it. So Bill Cosby lands in a helicopter like 10 minutes before, and he's wearing a sweatshirt, and I'm in a suit and everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And he says, why are you wearing the suit? I said, oh, Bill Cosby. He goes, college. He talks like just in words. He doesn't use
right.
He goes, college, sweatshirt. And I'm like, okay.
Doing a mad lib.
Yeah. So he gets up, and so he's a guy's a genius. He's just standing beside the lady. He's not nervous at all, of course, you know. He says, anything going on in the school? She says, next week we play LSU, you know, we're Tulsa. He goes, that's okay, fine. And then they introduce me, walks out, and he goes, Tulsa! And everybody screams, right? And then he goes, LSU! And everybody boos. And then he goes, Tulsa! And everybody screams louder. And he goes, LSU! Exactly. So he says it about five times, every time slower. And now they're going up and down like they're in a lather, you know?
Right.
And then he goes, next week I will be performing LSU and I'll be doing that bit backwards. And then he's amazing. But anyways, afterwards, so I talked to him and I go, oh, man, you're the best. You know, I listened to you as a kid and everything, my dad, like, was racist, but mm-hmm. he loved you, you know? And
I think it's the ultimate compliment.
It is. It tempered, like, his racism and stuff.
Yeah, it's like telling a cow that your mom's vegan, but was willing to eat just you.
Cow.
Yes. That's how much she loves you.
Yeah, if you want to compare an African-American to a cow. That would be a good analogy.
Well, you don't want to pick another animal. One that may climb a tree and eat bananas.
This is getting ugly. Let's...
All right, Norm. Come on, reel it in.
So Cosby says to me... So I said, yeah, my dad loves you. He goes, where does your dad live? I go, Ottawa. So he turns to his agent, you know, whatever guy who was with him. He goes, Fred, am I not doing Ottawa? So he looks on his thing and he says, oh, yeah, yes, Mr. Cosby, you're doing Ottawa in August. And he goes, get the man's father. He says, so now I'll get your father front row seat afterward. He'll come back to this right. and talk with me and I'll treat the man well. And I was like, oh man, that's great. So he goes, get me a pen, and the man needs a pen and a paper, write down the phone number. And so I'm getting a pen and a paper, and I realize my dad's dead, right? He's been dead like 10 years.
Well, 666 would be the area code.
So, yeah. He's a VIP. Oh,
sorry, buddy.
So I go, oh, man, I don't want to now say my dad's dead and bring the whole conversation down.
Right, sure.
So I just write down nine numbers, you know. Is it 9, 10?
You gave him a fake number for your dad.
He's a mathematical genius, Norm MacDonald, everybody.
I know the area code of where my dad lived. So anyways, I go, here you go. He'll enjoy it. He's alive, you know. The guy's
alive so hard.
Yeah, that's a tell.
So then, amazingly enough, first of all, this shows you how like powerful people can find anybody, right? I was doing this lame thing on the Drew Carey show, and as a little guest star, you know. And the stage manager runs up. She goes, Bill Cosby's on the phone.
What?
He tracked you down.
Yeah, he can find anybody.
How long after you'd seen him on the field
at
Tulsa?
3 months later. Mm-hmm. So I get on the phone, and he goes, and it's Bill Cosby. He's like, I found the number. The man is not, that. It's different than the father. The man is different. And I phoned twice a phone. Same
wow.
man. No, and so I'm like, keep lying. I go, I'm sure that's his number. Yeah, I don't know what to do.
Norm, couldn't he have died in the interim? You could have said he just died.
Mm. Oh, man. That's
savvy.
That's fast. That yeah. Fast.
The more you know.
How to lie to Bill Cosby. Mm.
So, anyways, I did actually tell that story. And I was at Saturday Night Live. I told that story on a talk show. And the next day, man, I went into my office at Saturday Night Live. And there was about 600, like, flowers, like, whole big things of flowers. The office was, like, packed with flowers. It was so, like, crazy. And finally, on one of the little flowers, there was a little note, and it said, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you, but your father has long since died, Bill Cosby.
Wow.
So he was funny. He went to all that trouble to make a joke.
Wow, what a guy.
Oh, seems like a great guy.
Sweet man.
Well, speaking of death, though, you just mentioned that. You guys both, is there any bad blood? Both played death on
Me
the
and
family
Adam both
guy.
Play
yes.
death. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know about you, Adam, but I actually get people come up to me. Yeah. More than anything I've ever done, probably.
It's really weird. The Family Guy gets you more street cred than any show you'll ever do.
Yeah,
who was the first
odd.
To play death, you or Adam?
Norm was the first to play Death. He seemed to be a very good Death. As a matter of fact, I believe there was a great line, speaking of people that have passed away before their time. When he played Death, he went out to go collect Peter with his sickle and everything, and he got out to the front yard. He was basically taking him to wherever he took him, and Peter made a run for it. And you yelled, "I caught Flo Jo, I can catch you." I think it was Flo. I think it was Flo Jo. It was probably 8 months after she died. Morbid, but funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was a good line. Now, why didn't you return as Death?
I was doing a stand-up gig at the time, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, the thing about the Family Guy is you will get a call at 10 p.m. on a Thursday saying they need you at 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you'll go, "Well, I'm not even in town." "Well, what's up?" It's like you had a conversation.
Yeah, right.
Ever do that with people where you have a conversation like you had a conversation with them, but you never did?
Right.
I thought we'd agreed on something we'd never spoken about.
Right. Well, it could have been like, maybe do it again sometime. Sure.
Once a week.
That could be the conversation you had 6 months earlier.
Once a week, I get a call from my agent that says, "Can you do the Family Guy tomorrow at 8 in the morning?" And I go, "No, I can't. How about noon?" And they go, "Ah, forget it." And they just move on. And then 6 months later, I get another call going, can you be in Canada at 5 a.m. to do a voiceover for Family Guy? And I go, "No, I can't." And they go, "All right, screw it then." And that's it. So I guess that's what happened to you.
Yeah. Well, I did another thing for American Dad. But Seth wasn't involved, though. I got there and Seth wasn't there.
Well, that's disappointing, but I'll tell you something, and this is a smooth transition that never disappoints. Teresa Strasser with her news. Norm, feel free to chime in, by the way, since you anchored the news desk at Saturday Night Live for the best years they ever had over there. The best.
Norm, it's an honor to have you chime in on my news.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Yesterday, while the leader of Thailand was off in New York at the UN General Assembly, the army commander took advantage of the moment to stage himself a little coup d'etat. The government was overthrown, and the new leader says he'll only be in charge for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's what Castro said 41 years ago. I'm just a placeholder. I'll just be here, just keeping the seat warm for a couple of long weekend, and then I'm right out. Then we'll put it to the people, but he never leaves.
Now, in Anna Nicole Smith news, a second autopsy was performed on her 20-year-old son who died in the Bahamas. According to entertainment website TMZ.com, the pathologist hired by Anna Nicole Smith says the death, quote, could be a drug-related death of an accidental nature. Another anonymous official clarified that the drugs were quote, prescription, not illegal. Both sources confirmed that he had antidepressants in his system.
You know, the saddest part is when they go dig up the dad, the biological dad, the guy who met her at the Dairy Queen when she was 11.
Yeah, fried chicken house.
And you just look at her, and then you look at him, and you go, Jesus Christ, how did he get hold of that?
Yeah,
the biological dad.
The Paul Snyder kind of guy.
Yes, exactly.
He's a scary-looking guy who doesn't look like he's pulled himself out of the mire, so to speak.
True. Well, there should be toxicology reports coming out next month. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, you cannot die from antidepressants, obviously, or I would be.
Well, I can't figure it out because you hear that.
Certainly cure depression.
You certainly, yeah.
That's one way of curing depression.
That's the old way they used to do it.
You know what, Norm? Thank you.
Just get a rope.
The problem is I'm not taking enough. I need a fatal dose.
Yes. This rope will cure your depression. So will this pistol.
A stool and a rope.
Good to know.
If you have a length of hose, you can hook it up to the packer.
Listen,
cure,
when my prescription runs out, I just, exactly. All right. More than 5,000 people, another death story, gathered to celebrate Steve Irwin's life. This was a televised memorial from his zoo in Australia. It was earlier this morning, local time. Now, there were a lot of celebrities there that gave these video eulogies. Russell Crowe, Kelly Ripa, of all people, and then Justin Timberlake. Here's what he had to say.
To Terry and Bindi and Bob and Steve's family and friends, I may have only really spent a day with you guys, but it was a day I'll never forget, and I'll never forget what I learned just by being around Steve. Not even what he taught me, but what I learned from just being around him with animals.
Actually, I'm going to keep that for when I pass away. I'll modify it. It'll be like, to Adam. And then he'll keep talking. You'll hear Lynette, his wife. And put my daughter's name in there, too. And that way I can use it.
Well, I wonder.
You know, as a crocodile hunter,
right? Mm-hmm.
I was not as shocked as everyone else.
Yeah.
Because I figure that's what you're putting down in your W-2, that you're a crocodile hunter.
Right.
You know, I don't think you're going to get that much life insurance, you know.
Yeah.
That's a ripe old age for a crocodile hunter.
Yeah, you hear feng shui artist dies at 44, yeah. And you think, wow, tragedy.
That's tragic.
But when the word crocodile and hunter are right in there, yeah. It's like when people are surprised that they're attacked by a bull shark. Like the word bull and sharks, right? It's right there.
Well, Norm,
tiger shark. What else you need to know?
Is it too soon to joke about the likes of Steve Irwin's death?
You know who's angry are the crocodiles. Because the crocodiles are like, oh my God, man. You're not... They're like, the crocodile hunter got killed. The guy go, who did it? Got Frank get him? No, man, you don't even want to know.
Seriously, tell us, Chuck?
No, it wasn't Chuck. It was...
Bart, who did it?
Some fruity fish.
Oh!
Okay,
so... I had a chance to get him, man. One time, that guy was coming at me, taunting me with a stick. I could have eaten him and his kid right on the TV.
Well, we got to get Larry. He's a saltwater croc. He can go after him. I can't venture into the sea.
You know, a crocodile will not eat you all at once. He takes your body, drags you underneath...
Gives you the roll.
Yeah.
That's right.
He gives you the roll, yeah.
Yeah, and
hides
dashes you.
And then goes and eats you piece by piece.
Well, Norm, we talked earlier about your experience on The View. Now, well, you were there. Rosie O'Donnell was not there, but now she is. And yesterday, she sort of accused Oprah of being a little bit gay, discussing the road trip that Oprah took with her best friend, Gail King. This is from The View earlier this week.
I think that's very typical of gay relationships. Not saying they're gay, but, you know, two women get together, and after year two, all you do is spoons.
That's
you know what
true.
I'm saying? No, it's really true. She's like, well, we're not having sex, Oprah. We're not gay. I'm like, well, you might be a little bit gay. You're just not doing it. You know what I mean? I mean, a tiny bit.
Yes, but just like
she's acting just a teeny, tiny little.
So you're saying it sounds like they did do it.
No, I don't think they did.
Okay.
I really don't.
So you can be a little bit gay?
Well, I'm just saying they're very bonded. They talk to each other 5 times a day.
They should rename that show Cluster F. I don't know how it would work.
It's very odd for a gay person to insult a person by calling them gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To slam them. Because I've had that with gay guys. They go, oh, you're probably gay, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they're not insulting you. Maybe they're giving you a compliment. Insult?
No, they say it as if. You know, because they say, like, guys that are homophobic are actually gay, which is insane.
Right.
And, but they'll say stuff like that.
No, it's funny when really fat guys.
When Rosie O'Donnell says, like, oh, hey, they're not having sex. As far as I know, gay ladies cannot have sex.
Yeah, they can do...
They can just have pillow fights or whatever. You know, I mean, they can do what we do
can't
before
have intercourse.
We have sex.
Yeah, they can do what we
horse
can
play.
Do.
Horseplay.
I think they call it foreplay.
I think they call it tomfoolery.
It's tomfoolery.
Well, Norm's told us that he's lost all interest in women.
Yeah, my dad used to say, knock it off, take it outside.
Now,
you guys going to be performing oral on each other? Take it outside.
I'll wrap up the news with this, Norm. Since you've declared to us that you've lost all interest in women.
It was tough during the winter. It was tough to keep it going, yeah, you sure. know what I'm saying? You know in Canada. I'm trying to keep it going in a snowbank.
I'm trying to keep it going.
Sorry, baby.
Match.com did a survey on kissing.
Mm.
They have found that the average person spends 336 hours of their life kissing, and men who kiss their partners before they leave for work have higher average incomes than those who don't kiss their wives before they leave.
Mm.
Well, naturally. What the...
Yeah, it's a...
Hold on, there's more. Before she gets married, the average woman kisses how many men, would you guess?
What?
Average woman kisses how many men before marriage?
These things are always disappointing because you go, well, you know what your wife's numbers are, right. Or at least you're in the ballpark. And so they go, how many men has an average woman before she, you know, been with? Forget about kissing, and you think to yourself, 45, 46, and then you hear it's 1.5, and then you're like, Christ, I married a whore. You go home and beat the crap out of her. It'll be one of these things where I would go, well, I grew up in L.A., and I grew up when people were doing a lot of blow, and people were macking out all over the place. Yeah. And to me, it would seem like people hooking up before they get married, it seems like they would have to, like, 30, 40 guys, no problem, maybe into the 50s and 60s, but I'm sure you're going to tell me 0.7.
No, you weren't far off. The average woman kisses 29 men before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
She said 30 to 40.
Tramps.
Yeah.
Oh. What about Miss Cindy? How many before you?
I haven't kissed her myself yet.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
I had a hymen installed in my wife's mouth. I'm that pious about the whole thing. After a few days, I started noticing she was withering away, and then I realized she couldn't get food in, and so I had it removed.
Oh, Bruska, is it rap time? Okay.
One more.
Right. Wow. This is...
One more story?
Really?
Holy Christ. Now, do we have a mystery guest that's supposed to be gracing our
guest
show?
Mystery guest was good until about this time, and now can't do it, but we'll probably do it on Friday.
A-list? B-list?
B-plus. Kyle thinks it's like A-plus, but I think it's B-plus.
All right.
The mystery deepens.
Way to sell it. All right. One more, then,
okay.
T.
Now, RollingStone.com has come up with another one of their musical lists. You know how we've done the list of the wussiest songs, the list of the songs with the greatest guitar solos. Here are a couple of songs that made their list in no particular order, and then you guys tell me what you think these songs have in common.
Why can't I get just one screw? Why can't I get
okay, that's the Violent Femmes added up. Brian?
They ought to change their name to the Violent A-Holes. I met those guys once, and they were
really?
A-Holes. And I hate it, because you like a band, and you think they're cool and everything, and all that geek rock. Turns out they're A-Holes.
Let's hear another song and see if you can connect the dots.
I just need a break, what do I get?
This is the Buzzcocks.
Yeah.
What do I get?
I remember this song, yeah.
Maybe we could even get
now, one more will probably give it away. Green Day with Longview. Oh, you know what'll really give it away? The Joe Jackson.
Yeah. Oh.
Is she really going out with him?
Oh, I was going to say best punk songs, but this isn't a punk song.
Oh, I know
song.
What it's about.
What
because,
well,
last week when we were in San Diego, I was in my hotel room in the paper-thin walls next door. Jim Bruska, the producer, was in. He was playing all those songs lightly while he just beat the bejesus out of himself all night long. That's what it's about,
right? You're very
close.
These are all RollingStone.com's picks for best songs about not getting laid.
Oh, yes.
See, now when you hear him again, when you hear that Violent Femme song, Violent A-Hole song again, it all...
To me, it's Anne Murray Snowbird. That's my best not getting laid song. You got snow
that.
And birds right into it, Anne Murray.
Rosie.
Which one?
Rosie. Wasn't that about...
The Bruce Springsteen?
Rosalita.
Rosalita?
No, the one that guy did about he'd go home with his hand, you know?
Oh, like Rosie in the Palms or whatever?
Yeah. You never heard that song?
No.
It was a famous song.
Could you do a little of it?
No, I don't know the... God damn, I thought you guys were music experts.
Here's Rosanna.
This is the best we can do for you, Norm.
Are you sure?
You ready? Because I'm about to bail out of the news
maybe,
any second.
You didn't just pull an all-nighter and make that song up on the way home from a
casino? Hold on, Norm.
Casino?
Jackson Brown?
Norm, Somebody? You're not on anything.
What?
You're not on any drugs or alcohol. Nothing.
Nothing, no.
This is just your...
You think I sound like incoherent? And
no, it's not incoherent. You're very brilliant, but something.
Well,
I think Jackson Brown is correct, by the way.
This is uncomfortable, okay, right. By the way. Oh, it's a Jackson Brown song?
Yeah, and you think it's about a girl named Rosie.
It's about his hand?
But it's about his hand.
Oh, I do know the Jackson Brown song, Rosie.
Yeah.
Oh, so this...
Hey, you want to talk about a guy with a lot of range.
It's you.
You got to talk about you and Jackson Brown. Jackson Brown singing a nice song on a six string and then beating the crap out of Daryl Hannah when he gets home.
Yeah.
That's range.
Yeah.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time. Dave Dadima
Belichick's number one sports.
Well, Justice Nunn.
Oh, I thought we weren't on the radio.
No, we are.
We are. You acted like we weren't on the radio.
Norm dropped an F-bomb.
A two.
Norman, even if we weren't on the radio, you using the F word in the studio wouldn't be appropriate. Okay?
I gotcha.
The good news is you're fired.
Now, you make all the jokes you want about deceased crocodile hunters. That's your prerogative. But when you come into my studio and start using profanity, that's when I draw the line.
Good day, sir!
Norm,
that's not profanity. That's obscenity.
I'm sorry, good day!
But I did say good day. Norm McDonald, everybody. Ridiculous name of the CD. It is out as we speak. God bless you, Norm. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks, Adam. You guys are doing a great job. I was listening when I'm awake, and it's real funny.
Well, thank you. Thanks. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Less ads, more Adam. You asked for it. The Adam Carolla Show. Recently on the Adam Carolla Show, Adam spoke with the family in Tennessee where the 500-pound woman had to watch her husband and her daughter have sex with each other.
Is that the boyfriend in the background or a kid?
My little nephew, but it's his son.
Uh-huh. It's your nephew, but it's also your boyfriend's son?
Uh-huh. Tennessee family tree.
Put your man on the blower, would you please?
But you don't want to talk to me.
Oh, yes, we do. Perhaps you should slow down a little on the children until you get your affairs in order.
Well, my affairs is in order. I'm on probation and everything.
Oh!
Mazel tov.
What do you do?
I'm a mechanic.
I see. And what do you
instead
make?
Instead of sitting there making fun of people on the radio and stuff, you know, I work for a living.
What do you make an hour?
I make probably twice as what you do, buddy.
Amber?
Why do you have to be a smart Ellie?
What is in the job description? They said, listen, if you want to make half the money that Cletus from Kentucky makes,
that's
yes.
Your problem.
Oh, yes, it is. You know why it's my... I'll tell you why. I pay taxes, bitch. That's why it's my problem. You understand? Cletus over there has been put through the system so many times that it's probably cost the good taxpayers of Tennessee at least $1 million. Yes, it is our problem. Of course it's our problem. Listen, hold on. I'm not done yelling. Everyone has rights to do whatever they want until they start asking society to chip in, and then we should strip those rights away. Have as many kids as you want. Do whatever you want. But when you ask society to foot the bill for the kids, now becomes our problem. And guess what? We get a vote. You know why? Because we become your employer. This is what taxpayers do. We pay for you F-ups to crap out kids.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Boy, it's uncomfortable to hear yourself that way.
Really?
But be ready for it to begin again. So, we initially heard about a story of a woman named Peggy,
yes,
who was, and always a bad sign when they have to estimate your weight. That's not a good sign.
I think it was between 500 and 800 pounds.
Yes. She claims it was, you know, 400 or 500 pounds. Anyway, she was living in a house. She was living with a guy who was having sex with her daughter in front of her, although not the biological father, stepdad, but in the same room and, like, throwing French fries at her.
They put ketchup on her and dipped the French fries in her.
Very sad. We spoke to her, somehow got on the phone with Amber, her daughter, her other daughter. Right, Amber?
No.
Uh-oh. Well, why? It says check's going. Oh, there you go. Amber?
Yes.
Yes, we spoke to you. You're Peggy's other daughter.
Yes.
And then
I'm the youngest.
Right, and then I started yelling at your husband, who had a couple of kids from other relationships that were living in other parts of the country, and got indignant with me about having more kids because you're pregnant now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, how many kids does your husband have?
He's got three right now. And then this one, well, these will be, he got three, he will have two more.
He has three.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like my nephew saying three. Has three, and then he has going to have two more?
Are you having twins?
Yes, I am.
Are you having twins? The Lord works in mysterious ways.
He does.
And the
it's
other,
a mitzvah, she says.
The other three kids live where?
With the mama.
With the mama. Are they in Florida?
No.
Where are they? Some other state?
Yeah.
All right. And what state are you calling from?
Georgia.
Georgia. Okay. So, do you have some news for us?
Well, she was supposed to do a CD review for us because we love her. But she, I guess she can't do it. She has something to talk about.
Oh, Amber, what is
it? The news question?
My mom just passed away.
Your mom, yes. Peggy?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
She died the 17th.
I'm so sorry.
And now we're trying to get the money and stuff up to burial.
Oh. How's the burial work on somebody with that carriage?
Well, when she passed away, she weighed 850-something pounds.
850-something pounds? Because she told us 400 pounds when we spoke to her.
Yes.
Right. So that's what killed her. She wasn't.
We ain't sure.
Wasn't a moped accident.
You're not sure though. What are you? What else are
Dave,
you
don't
concerned
laugh.
About?
That's not funny.
I think Brian should feel badly about
Hold
the
on.
Jokes he's made.
Amber, yes. What else do you think she might have died of?
Well, it could be from my sister and my stepdad not feeding her, and when they, you know.
I don't think she was starving.
I wish we had Jeff Ross here because he would be saying the parachute didn't open, the dune buggy flipped over.
But you think there might be some foul play with your sister and your mom's husband?
Yes.
You think they killed her?
Well, that or the hospital. We ain't sure which one. So we're getting an autopsy done on her to find out what killed her.
Why would the hospital kill her?
Well, they didn't give her antibiotics like they were supposed to for the infection she had.
What kind of infection?
It was in her legs and stuff. I ain't really positive.
All right, so she died at 850 pounds. That's got to be a tough detail getting her out of there. And then what do they do, and how do they... You can't put her into a casket.
They're making a casket for her.
Do they have one of those caskets that has, like, an add-a-leaf? Like, yeah. You know, your dining room table? When company comes over, you add a couple of leaves. Or Thanksgiving, you spread it out.
I don't know.
Widen that casket out.
But I know we're trying to get the money up. It's going to be over $4,000 too.
For the casket?
For everything, to bury or not.
I gotta say this. I don't want to tell you how to bury the remains of your mother, but my grandparents are in something called the Neptune Society.
Yes.
Now, this is what happens when you're super, super, super cheap and you're an atheist. You join something called the Neptune Society. Now, what you do... Hold on a second. Brian, quit passing notes around, would you, and distracting everyone in the room, or Dave, pretend like you don't see it or something, please? All right. Now, you join the Neptune Society. They'll pick you up for $250, and they'll throw you out in the ocean.
What about that? Would your mom have liked to be cremated, Amber?
No, she did not believe in that. She is Catholic.
Oh. Well, how are you going to raise the
money?
Wait
a minute. Can't you be cremated if you're Catholic? You got to be buried in a cemetery? You got to be buried in the earth?
They don't believe in fire or anything.
Believe in what?
File. Being burnt.
Are you talking about fire?
Fire.
Yeah.
Ah. I thought they meant filing. Didn't like keep the records in order.
So where is the body now?
It's up in Nashville. They're doing an autopsy on her to find out what killed her.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's raise the money.
Yes.
Yeah. How much do you need?
$4,000.
Close to $4,000.
Do you have any of it?
No, we do not.
Hmm.
Not yet.
Did she have life insurance?
No. Charles, she did have life insurance, but when she gave the money to Charles to pay for the life insurance, he did not pay for it.
Oh.
Amber, you got that little girl voice. Are you positive you weren't molested?
Yes, I was.
You were molested?
Yes.
Ah.
By who?
By my stepdad.
Ah.
You're saying Charles molested you as well?
Yes.
Hmm. You see, the last time we spoke, I think I asked you that, and you said no, and it never worked out right with me as far as the math and the voice. When I hear the voice, I know the voice of the victim. They sound like little girls. You become stuck in the age where you were molested. You sound like you were molested at a pretty young age. Correct?
Yes.
How old were you, Amber?
Five, I'd go four.
No, I was 6 or 7 when it started happening.
Mm, yeah.
So this was a bad guy.
Yeah.
Very bad.
Yes.
He molested both you and your sister, allegedly, and now you think he had something to do with your mother's death.
We ain't the only one he had touched. He touched my niece and nephew, too.
And is this guy in jail?
Yes, he is, but he's supposed to be getting out.
I see. And will you testify against him? If in order to keep in jail a little bit longer?
Yeah, I would.
All right, we're running late. I'm sorry, Amber, and I'm sorry for your loss, but we'd like to help you out, and we'd like to raise some of the money. As a matter of fact, we'll get another grand together, and you can use it for birth control after you crap out the twins that are currently residing in your womb, because I don't trust your husband, and I don't trust him having any more kids. But that's a separate issue. I think we can get the money together for the funeral arrangements of your mom. Yes, yeah, Prescott.
We got to start trying to do something to raise money for this family. Can they call us tomorrow and we'll figure it out?
All right. Can we talk to you tomorrow, Amber?
Yes, what time?
Should we have somebody call? We'll have somebody call you. Right?
Okay. We'll work it out.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we're all very, very sorry to hear about your loss. I hope you're okay.
Okay. We were supposed to be airing about the CDs.
Don't worry about the CDs.
Don't worry.
Okay.
All right.
Take good care.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm sure Norm MacDonald's in his car feverishly trying to write jokes about
the passing of the mother. It seems like we were just talking to her.
We were just speaking to Peggy just last week, it seems, and now she's gone. I guess she went on Sunday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show.
Gender reassignment surgeon Dr. Gary Alter. And finally, thank Christ, some porn stars from the Adult World Convention. Jack's going to be in a little bit early tomorrow, if you know what I mean, peeps. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're just about out of time, but Jeff?
Yes, sir.
You were listening. You'd like to contribute to the fund for Amber and her family to get Peggy a proper burial?
The ball rolling. I'm familiar with country people like this. I'm from West Virginia originally. I'm calling you from Phoenix right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. These ladies sound like they've just been brutalized all around. And
they have. And the sad part is when they bring more kids into their environment. But yes, your heart goes out to them.
That may be part of the fellow's fault. I don't know much about that.
Oh, he sounds like a delight.
As far as a funeral goes, my goodness, like I said, I'm from Tesla. Shut your hole.
Who are you yelling at?
That's my cat, Tesla.
Oh, okay. Oh. Hold on, I'm doing the math. Got a cat named Tesla calling in to donate to a fat woman's funeral. I'm guessing Jeff hasn't been laid in several years. Jeff?
You are gay.
What's that?
I'm married.
Oh, so you really haven't got any.
Well, Jeff, it's very generous of you to donate. Thank you very much.
Yes, you know, we're plumb out of time. You're generous, Jeff, and we're going to work on this tomorrow. Yeah, hang on. Or save that $100 because we'll be collecting money tomorrow. Well, that's it. We're plumb out of time. Matt Hughes, Norm MacDonald, Jimmy Kimmel, thank you all. Tim Jennings from Jeopardy tomorrow. Also, Dr. Gary Alter. He'll bring in pictures and show you how, Teresa, you could be transformed into Dave, and Dave, you could become Teresa.
Sweet.
It would be awesome. And right? I would make sweet love to both of you. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.